जयं विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महर्षील प्रभुपाद की जयं नितिलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महर्षील प्रभुपाद की आनंदकोटि वैष्णव बृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकूर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंडगिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसीदेवी की भक्तिदेवी की सामवेद भक्तवृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री शील प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूदलेश्वरी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिधि नामिनि नमस्ते सरस्वती गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवा श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यदा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वभावप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परं जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादिदरदश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वराण् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषां धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितकैदवोत्रपरमो मर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यदेत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणान् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहोरसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः यं प्रव्रजन्तं हनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकादरमाजुहावां पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमतिथितीर्षतां तमोऽन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तं व्याससूनुम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदाधृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदां मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि कापि कापि नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్టశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేష మనిషం హృది భావయామి కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగ వేదం వేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురతో మమ మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పుంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద So, in the 19th chapter of Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna, after giving the discussing the importance of Jnana Margam with Uddhava, Krishna turns to Bhakti. You will see this one thing in the Ekadasha Skandam. Krishna discusses various things and eventually brings and ties it down to bhakti at the end. You may have noticed that in the 10th chapter, 11th chapter, 12th chapter, everywhere various things Krishna discusses and at the same time brings it down and ties it down to bhakti. Ties it down to bhakti. Here also exactly the same thing Krishna has done. In the 19th chapter, if you look, you will see up to the verse 18, Krishna talked about knowledge, self-realization. Uddhava asked some questions, Krishna answered all of that, and then says here, Bhakti Yoga Purai Vokta, 19th verse, Bhakti Yoga Purai Vokta Priyamanaya Denakha Punascha Kathayishyami Mal Bhakte Karanam Param. Bhakti Yoga Purai Vokta Priyamanaya Denakha Punascha Kathayishyami Mal Bhakte Karanam Param. Krishna says that I've spoken to you about bhakti before, but again I will speak to you, Krishna says, that you are a devotee, therefore you will like to hear about it more, and madbhakte karanam param, and the reasons behind this bhakti, how that bhakti develops. So that is those verses we were discussing last Sunday. Shraddha amrutakathayam me shashvan madanakirtanam parinishtaja pujayam stutibhi stavanam mama ఆదరం పరిచర్యాయం సర్వాంగే అభివందనం మల్ భక్త పూజాబ్ అధియ సర్వభూతేషు మన్మతి మదర్థేషు అంగచేష్టాచ వజస మల్గుణేరణం మై అర్పణం చ మనస సర్వకామ వివర్జనం. దిస్ ఇస్ వాట్ వి వర్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ ఇట్. సో ఐ మెన్షన్ దిస్ ఆల్సో లాస్ట్ టైమ్ దట్ భక్తి మీన్స్ దట్ నాట్ అలౌవింగ్ ద మైండ్ టు కమ్ డౌన్ ఫ్రమ్. So therefore, it is important that Krishna mentions here that instead of allowing the mind to come down to the platform of the world, keeping the mind always on a higher plane, without allowing the mind to come to the platform of this world, keeping the mind on a higher plane, that is what is Krishna says here. That in order to do that, constantly discussing about Krishna. And Krishna says here, that cannot be spoken widely outside, at least inside that discussion must go on inside about Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. constantly chewing that inside. There is so much in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam to chew about, to discuss inside for oneself, to analyze various things in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam particularly. So Krishna says here that not only the transcendental qualities of Krishna, also the great devotees, their life, all those things, and Krishna's presence, Bhagavad Sanidhyam. In other words, Krishna's presence in this world, Krishna's mood, Bhagavad Bhavam, all these things. And if you keep on holding to all these things, only then we can remain on a higher plane. We can remain on a higher plane. That's the principle behind it. Apart from the discussing about Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam openly with others, in solitude also one should develop this habit of constant reflection on the instructions from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, as well as all the life story, history, or the various activities great devotees have performed in this world and their relationship with Krishna, and Krishna's relationship with the devotees, all these things. And therefore, this Krishna is saying here, Shraddha amrita kathayame shashvan madana kirtanam parinishtaja poyayam stutibhi stavanam mama. In other words, that Shraddha in Bhagavad Katha, in Krishna's activities, glorifying Krishna's transcendental qualities, and in order that the body also needs some engagement, isn't it? Body needs some engagement. That is why he says there, Parinishtaja Pujayam. That is for the body. That's for the body. Parinishtaja Pujayam. That means activities like Archana, offering flowers, Archanam, as well as Parinishtaja Pujayam. Archanam, offering flowers, as well as Krishna says here that various things what we do in the temples like Abhishekam and so many other activities like that, just to keep that body also in the same state. So, and if it is not sufficient, then there are other activities like continuously paying obeisances to Krishna. Equally important is circumambulating the temple. All those things are meant to keep the body engaged. In principle, the spiritual life is how to keep the body, mind, and our other activities out of trouble. If you don't do that, it will go into the maya, into the world, and engage in some nonsense, isn't it? So that is why to discipline the body and the mind, all these different kinds of activities are spoken. You can see several things are directed towards different aspects of the body. For gross body to engage circumambulation and paying obeisances and other activities like Abhishekam, offering flowers, arati, so many things like that. For the mind to occupy Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, discussions about Krishna consciousness, devotees' histories, and devotees' activities and various things like that. On an intellectual level, you have the higher philosophy to discuss, to understand. So somehow or the other, not allowing any of the aparaprakriti to fall into this trap of maya and continuously disturb us from there. This doing like this, Krishna calls it as charya. Charya means it's a simple yoga process. Unlike all other yoga systems, Jnana Margam, Yoga Margam and all, this is much simpler process to execute. And after performing the worship, reciting various glorifications and glorifying Krishna in that way. So, therefore, they have written down so many great songs about Krishna. Great devotees have compiled from their realizations, they have written down various things, various songs, various great devotees. You can see throughout the history, they have compiled many, many songs. And also what you have to remember is that we don't have to write anything anymore of our own. This is also important. There is a reason behind it. Nowadays, because there are so many possibilities of writing songs and also printing books and also possibility of distributing them through CDs and cassettes and all that. It has become very much everybody wants to create something, isn't it? Everybody wants to create. The creativity is there in everyone. But there is a reason why it should not be done. That's also another important thing to know. That when the rishis gave us something, everything what they have given us is from their experience. From their experience. They did not sit down and write something for the sake of writing. For the sake of writing. On the other hand, what happened to them, if you look at all the great personality in spiritual life, you will see that they went through a very long time of sadhana, distress and miseries of this life, and from that they had deep pain they have suffered in life, and they have spoken with Krishna, Ramachandra, everybody, devotees of Ramachandra spoken to Ramachandra, devotees of Krishna have spoken to Krishna, their miseries and problems of this world, and they have what they have encountered here. And that relationship with Krishna, after establishing that relationship, they came to a platform when they realized that material miseries do not exist for us. Because that is a stage of realization, isn't it? At that time they come to understand all these bodily miseries, mental problems, all these things have left them. They have gone beyond than that. Body cannot disturb them anymore. Mind cannot disturb them anymore. And ego is not there. Everything has vanished. In that stage, they are looking back into their own life and they are seeing each one of us in spiritual life, what all we have to go through to get to that state. When they realize the problems they have gone through and what is all we are all experiencing today in this world also in spiritual life, they have come to understand that, and for our benefit, they have wrote it down, and that is what they have compiled in their realizations. It's not that they sat down and wrote something, or because I have some poetic ability, let me write something and immediately make CDs and sell them all. That's not correct. It has to come through realization only. That is why it is so amazing, some of the songs. I'll give you an example. There are many examples like this. When they have compiled these songs, they have already reached a very high state of realization. And many of them, the songs what they wrote, if you look at it, they are so simple. Very, very simple. A few names of Krishna added here and there, one or two words to it. But they became so popular. Why? Because there is life in those songs. Whereas those who are writing like this, sit down and prepare, creating for the world something without any sufficient realization of Krishna consciousness inside, they never became popular. Some of the songs written by Sadashiva Brahmendra, if you look at them, he was so advanced in spiritual life. Bruhimukundedi, there is a famous song, Sadashiva Brahmendra's. In all the high classical concerts, they sing that song. And if you look at the song, it is so simple. It's only 2-3 lines. But it is still sung by devotees, by all Krishna conscious devotees, Krishna's devotees, they still sing. Bruhimukundedi. Rasane Bruhi Mugundedi. That's all it is. Bruhi means please, please chant the name of Mugunda, Krishna. Rasane, asking the tongue. Bruhi Mugundedi. Keshava Madhava Govindedi. Krishna Sadananda, Krishna Ananda Sadanandedi. Bruhi Mugundedi. That's all. The song is finished. But it is sung so long for so many hours by devotees because of the way it has come from Sadashiva Brahmendra. Sadashiva Brahmendra was a personality, as I mentioned many times before, that he has gone so hard in spiritual life, he didn't know whether a body existed for him or not. It was that state. And he, to mention about Sadashiva Brahmendra, that he, so learned was in the Shastram, the king invited him to be a scholar in the assembly of the Mysore king, and he was there, and his only happiness was arguing with others and defeating them in the discussions in Shastram. He was so expert at it, everyone used to come there and they will have a argument with Sadashiva Brahmendra, and they used to lose the argument and they go. And the king used to offer him all sorts of recognitions and everything. One of his godbrothers came in the same way to the palace once. And he saw what was happening with this person, Sadashiva Brahmendra, what he was doing. So this godbrother went back and told his spiritual master that this is what Sadashiva is doing at the moment. So he called him back straight away from the palace and told him, why don't you shut up? Stop this nonsense going on. They were so absorbed in the truth, they did not take any happiness in these simple arguments and fighting in this world in the name of Shastram or discussion about that. From that day, Sadashiva Brahmendra shut his mouth. He never opened it. And then it was a progressive path from then on. In the Kaveri River bank, he sat underneath the water, inside the river in Samadhi, Jala Samadhi, he sat there for many years. Later on, when the floods came, the water came over his body and he was still living underneath the water. When the water level came down, some farmers came there for cultivation purposes, and when they dug, they saw him sitting there underneath the water. That was the personality Sadashiva Brahmendra was. So Sadashiva Brahmendra wrote this song, Bruhimagundedi, after all these realizations and experiences in life, so many things associated with him, you will see there, that he wrote this song, Bruhimagundedi. Bruhimagundedi Rasane Bruhimagundedi Keshava Madhava Govindedi Krishna Ananda Sadanandedi Bruhimagundedi. That's all the song is. But even today, even great classical concerts, even before they begin this their concert, they sing this song, and it still remained as one of the most respected and highly devotional song from Sadashiva Brahmendra. So what I'm saying is that when they write songs, it comes from after a long protracted life of devotion, knowledge, renunciation. So therefore, all their realizations is in those songs. And when you sing them, remembering that Sadashiva Brahmendra's position, automatically you feel that bhavam inside. Bhavam inside. There was another one, Pibare Ramarasam, about Ramachandra. He wrote this famous song, Pibare Ramarasam, drink the nectar of Ramachandra, Rama's name, Lord Ramachandra's name. He wrote that. Tyagaraja Swami, another example, he compiled so many songs. Everything is a complete discussion between Ramachandra and Tyagaraja. Tyagaraja has been honored many times by the king, asking him to come to the palace and to sing there. So he went to the palace and he was honored, young little boy he was. And he was honored by the king, and on the way back, his teacher was very pleased with the glory because he got the recognition because of Tyagaraja. So teacher was very happy, but Tyagaraja looked very unhappy. So teacher asked Tyagaraja, why did you not feel happy that you were recognized at the palace and I feel honored about it, he said. Tyagaraja says, what is the use of all this? Rama Sannidhi Sukhama, or this king's association is better, he says. His happiness was in the association of Ramachandra, in Ramachandra's sannidhi, Ramachandra's presence glorifying Ramachandra. There is nothing comparable to that. That was Tyagaraja's position. He will not even care for the king's recognition as far as he is concerned. So you can see that in all devotees' case, it is like that. And they will only sing such songs. They won't sing any song, but only that is recognized by the great souls. There are so many like that. Recognized songs, you know who have written that, and from there you can understand that it has come from a higher source. It's come from a higher source. You know this song we sing, Krishna, 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 hey. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to sing that song, isn't it? As soon as he took sannyasam, when he was going, this is the song he was singing, this Krishna, Krishna. If you look at the song, there is nothing there except Krishna's names and Rama's names. There's nothing there. Rakshamam, Pahimam. Two words added to that. That's it. But that song has become glorified. Why? Because it has come from a higher person. That is the authority. The authority. So when they sing song, when they write song, that is the song one should sing. Not any song what anybody writes in this world. That's not the process. That's not the process. So then Krishna mentions here, so that is as far as the Shashwan Madanu Kirtanam. First he said, Shraddha Amrita Kathayame, hearing about Krishna. That Amrita Katha, that is first thing. Shraddha Amrita Kathayame, Shraddha in hearing about Krishna, understanding Krishna properly. Then Shashwan Madana Kirtanam, glorifying Krishna in the proper way. Everything there is a system, established system, we shouldn't change that. Shraddha Amrita Kathayame, Shashwan Madana Kirtanam. So Amrita Katha we discussed this before, last Sunday. Amrita Katha means two things. One, hearing about Krishna. And secondly, hearing the Tattvam of Krishna. Krishna Tattvam or principle. What is Krishna? Understanding that properly. We remember that Prithu Maharaj, how he discussed that, isn't it? Prithu Maharaj mentions that about in the fourth canto you have seen that. So all that is as far as the Katha is concerned. Kirtanam is concerned, the standard is that you follow the great compositions of the great devotees. Only they should be sung, not from the ordinary people. Even Krishna says that later. You will see that 29th chapter, when Krishna discusses about Kriya Yogam, he will say this, that what we can sing and what we shouldn't sing. Even he mentions that. So there is an established process in all these things. So, Shraddha Ayamada Kada Ayame Shashwan Madana Kirtanam. Then, Parinishtaja Pujayam Sudibhistavanam Mama. So, Parinishtaya Pujayam Parijarya. Parijarya means in the service to Krishna. Various devotees in various parts of the world, they are serving Krishna in various different ways. To be respectful to everybody, not to offend anyone. That they are all serving Krishna in their own way. In their own way they are engaged, their own understanding. Their understanding may be different. They may be belonging to different traditions. But they have also some relationship with Krishna. Parinishtaja Pujayam. And even if one cannot do all that things, at least when they are engaged in their worship, not to feel any ridicule towards them. Any ridiculing towards them. Sometimes you see that among people, isn't it? They say, oh, they don't know anything about it. A sort of indifferent attitude in that way. Krishna says that is not a good thing, because Parinishtha, Adharav Parijaya, that Adharav is this. Respect for others also in their worship towards Krishna, worship of Krishna. So, if possible, do something. If not, at least to pay your obeisances and come back, go away from there. So, wherever it is, Krishna says here that this principle, whether it is this tradition or that tradition, doesn't matter. Going to temples and paying your obeisances to the deity and respect to that process is important. You are not respecting the people there. You are respecting Krishna there by doing that. How do we know that this is the right thing? If you look into all the acharyas' life, you will see they have done this to teach the world. Acharyas have gone beyond deity worship, all of them. Whether it is Shankaracharya, Ramanuja, Madhva, Vishnuswami, Nimbarka, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are all beyond the deity worship stage. They have gone beyond than that, isn't it? They have realized the truth. They have realized the truth and they have gone far beyond than that. But in spite of that, if you look into their life in this world, they have gone to so many temples which did not belong to their tradition. Take for example Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In his travels, if you look, you will see he has gone to various temples. There is a list in the Chaitanya Charitamrita which all temples he has visited. Strictly speaking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't need to go to all these temples, does he? Yes, Krishna himself has come, and knowing very well in this world temples are necessary, and to respect that tradition of worship in the temple, Mahaprabhu went to so many temples. He went to Kartikeya temples in Trichandur. He went to Srirangam. He went to Kamakshi temple. He went to Shiva's many temples of Lord Shiva and paid his respects there. This is what is called Adharava. See that? We should not become the Krishna consciousness understanding is like that. Wherever Krishna is worshipped in any form, form may be different, but it is Krishna who is worshipped there in that form. Whether it is worshipped as Shiva, whether it is worshipped as Sri Parvati, whether it is worshipped as Subramanya, whoever it is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to all these temples, isn't it? He went to Kanyakumari and paid his obeisances to Sri Parvati there, Devi. You will see that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Balaramaswami came, Lord Balaram. Look at his pilgrimage. What all temples he went to. He went to Kanyakumari and paid his respects to Sri Parvati there. What does this teach us? Adare Parijaryayam. Being respectful to that. This is Vedic tradition. They did not fight, argue each other, oh, this is not my sampradayam, there's somebody else. No, this is bogus. That's not proper understanding. Proper understanding. So, and this has become a disease later. Although the acharyas have shown us all these things, we have made it more complicated afterwards. Shankaracharya had no reason to go to any of these temples. He was an Advaiti himself. But nobody else has gone like him to all the temples. Many of his kirtanam were written in different temples. Shivananda Lahiri was written in Malligarjuna Swami temple in Andhra Pradesh. That's where Shivananda Lahiri was written. Saundarya Lahiri was written in Kamakshi temple in Kanchipuram. And like this you can see that they compiled their addressing that particular deity in the temple. That is realization. That is why the songs what they wrote, still people are studying and enjoying it, benefiting from that. The such a big heart they had. They, not due to anything else, not to impress the public, but from the realization they see, Krishna is sitting in different forms in all these temples. That's how they saw it there. Strictly speaking, we don't worship Lord Shiva, we say. But why did Mahaprabhu go to all the Shiva temples then? If we don't worship Lord Shiva. If Mahaprabhu can pay obeisances to Lord Shiva, we can also pay obeisances to Lord Shiva. Nothing is going to come on the way. So this understanding is, has to be there. Adare Parijaryayam. That's what Krishna is saying here in the 21st verse. Adarava. Adarava means wherever Krishna, deity is worshipped, Krishna is worshipped in any form, doesn't matter. Whether it is Sri Parvati's form in Kanyakumari or whether it is Subramanya form in Tiruchandur or it is Shiva form in Kanchipuram or elsewhere in so many places. If you look at the list of the temples what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has gone, many of them are Shiva temples, famous Shiva temples. He went, paid his respects there, paid his obeisances there, and spent time there, and he moved on to the next place. Why? Adare Parijaryayam. That is the explanation for that. So, the same, Shankaracharya did the same thing, Ramanuja did the same thing, Madhvacharya did the same thing, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did the same thing. So, in their state, they have to do the right thing. They don't go what others think about them. They don't think that. They do the right thing. And that is why it mentions here that they went to all the temples from Kanyakumari to Kashmir. They have gone to most of the temples they have visited. So why? Adare Parijaryayam. So any process by which you can stay on a higher level in life, that should be taken seriously. And temple darshanam or visiting to these temples is for that purpose. To keep ourselves on a higher platform. So, if there is deity worship going on, or chanting the holy name is going on, or any other activities going on, respect for that. Respect for that. So, so this thing to see that Krishna is present in all living entities, as well as in all the temples, and this Paramatma Bhava. Paramatma Bhava means this presence of Krishna's presence in every living entity. And he is also present in all other living entities as Antaryami. He is present there. That is a very higher level of realization. Very high level of realization. So, you can see, remember we talked about this, a first class devotee's qualifications, isn't it? We mentioned this yesterday. Sarva bodheshaya pashen bhagaval bhavam altmana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottamam. Sarva bodheshaya pashen. In two ways it happens. Sarva bodheshaya pashen. When he sees another living entity, he sees Krishna in that person. Bhagavad bhavam. That is Bhagavad bhavam. Bhagavad bhavam means to recognize Krishna is present in that body also. In that body also. Bhagavad bhavam altmana. Bhagavad-bhavam. Bhagavad-bhavam means to recognize that Krishna is present in that person and not to create unnecessarily ragadvesham towards another person. Bhudani Bhagavad-tyesham. Similarly, a realized soul will see that all these living entities are also part and parcel of Him who is inside as Antaryami, Krishna, super soul, in other words. So once he realizes that link between himself and others, in one sense, he realizing that Krishna who is inside is present in every living entity. Reverse, all living entities are present in me as Krishna, the soul, isn't it? Sarva bhudeshu yap pashyet bhagavad bhavamal mana bhagavad bhavam. In all living entities, bhagavad bhavam. Krishna is present in that person. In that way, dealing with another person. What else? Bhudani bhagavat yesham. All living entities is Krishna who is within me. Savai bhagavadottama. That he is the first class devotee. Who says this? Kavi Maharshi says in the Ekadasha Skandam, isn't it? So, Srimad Bhagavatam divides devotees into three categories. Based on the three modes of nature, Tamogunam, Rajogunam, Satugunam, and based on the Prakritam, Madhyamam, Kanishtadhikari. Prakrita Bhakta, Madhyama Bhakta, Uttama Bhakta. Three different categories, isn't it? Ekadasha Skandam divides into these three. Prakritam, Madhyamam, Uttamam. First class devotee, middle class devotee, and Kanishtha Adhikari. Kanishtha Adhikari means or Prakrita Bhakta. Prakrita Bhakta is one who is just focused on the temple only. He doesn't move out of the temple and he is not concerned at all. What happens in the temple matters to him all the time. Centered around the deity and thinks that that alone is matters. That is Prakritam, very much on a lower scale. But advanced devotees, Madhyama Vakta Shri is a little bit different. And on a higher platform, Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashyet is seeing everywhere Krishna's presence. So that is what Krishna is saying here. If you look at that verse 21, Krishna is saying there, Adara Parijariyayam Sarvangai Abhivandanam Malbhakta Puja Adhiga Sarva Bhudeshu Manmati. That Sarva Bhudeshu Manmati. That is exactly that thing. Sarvabhudeshu manmadi. In everyone, he says, Krishna's presence is recognized. That's a very important part of the spiritual life. Sarvabhudeshu manmadi. So, you can see Sarvabhudeshu manmadi. And then, 22nd verse, Krishna is saying, Madarte angachesta ja vajasa madguneranam. Angachesta. Angachesta means, this is a very higher yoga sadhana, this Anga Chesta. Anga Chesta means every movement of this body is done by the Antaryami inside. The super soul who is present inside is doing it. And knowing that, that means every activity when it happens in this body, that devotee is conscious that Krishna is doing that from within. It's a very higher level of understanding of Krishna. Very understanding of Krishna. Anga Chesta. Anga Chesta means Chesta, you know the word Chesta we talked about before. Chesta is that Shariram will do Chesta. The body will do Chesta. Chesta means according to the vasana inside, according to the impressions inside, the body will act in different ways, isn't it? Body will function in different ways. So this Chesta is actually done by the Antaryami. That means although vasanas are behind it, actually it is carried out by the Antaryami. So at no point he thinks himself that he is doing it. He is doing it. And Krishna says here, especially in the case of liberated souls, that's more important. This particular thing mostly applies to the liberated personalities. Madarte Anga Chesta. Why? In the case of liberated souls, every movement what they make in this world, they will actually express one of the statements of the Upanishads. Of course, it's difficult to understand that. Mahavakyams are there. Mahavakyam means the four famous Mahavakyams. There are others also, but అహం బ్రహ్మాస్మి, ప్రజ్ఞానం బ్రహ్మ, ఐఎమ్ ఆత్మ బ్రహ్మ, తత్వమసి, ద ఫోర్ ఫేమస్ మహావాక్యం ఫ్రమ్ ఫోర్ డిఫరెంట్ ఉపనిషత్స్, ఫ్రమ్ ఫోర్ డిఫరెంట్ వేదాస్. సో ఇన్ ద కేస్ ఆఫ్ లిబరేటెడ్ సోల్స్, దేర్ మూమెంట్ ఆఫ్ ద బాడీ అండ్ బాడీలీ యాక్టివిటీస్ విల్ ఆల్వేస్ bring out one of these mahavakyams to those who are carefully observing them. Of course, this is difficult to understand, that you need a very, very extremely subtle level of observation and subtle level of understanding. When they engage in any activity, if the person who is observing them is able to see things in an extremely subtle level, he will understand what that person's activities actually meant. And it will be one of the Mahavakyam will come through their actions. One of the Mahavakyams will come through those actions. So, that's why Krishna says here, Madartham Angacheshtaja Vajasamadgune Rasam. Madartham, that is a word. You see that word, Madartham. Madartham means what? Madartham is this, that how would you understand that word Madartham? Madartham means that their angachesta, their bodily movements, will express something related with the truth, with Krishna, something related to the with the truth. And those four Mahavakyams in the Upanishads, Aham Brahmasmi, Prajnanam Brahma, Ayam Atman Brahma, Tattvamasi, the four famous Mahavakyams, they will be in their movements of the body. In other words, that's very difficult to talk about it, because only those who have very higher understanding can understand their movement, first of all, and understand the principle behind it, what has actually prompted them to make that move. So that's why Krishna is saying here that only in the case of highly realized souls, they will understand that movement of their body, and their movement will always be in tune with one of the Mahavakyams. One of the Mahavakyams. Because you remember in the second chapter, Arjuna asked the question of a realized soul, isn't it? How does a realized soul walk? How does a realized soul eat? How does he sleep? How does he talk? When we read it, what do we understand about it? When Arjuna asked that question, we think it must be something, does he walk in the same way like we do? That's how we look at it, isn't it? Completely from the level of the body, from the platform of the body we look at it. But that's not what it meant. Arjuna is asking that it is the same question there. When Arjuna asked that question, this is what is implied in that. Not that, how does he walk? Does he walk different than us? We walk on two legs. Does he walk on either two legs and the two hands or what? It's not that's what it meant. What it meant is that how their Krishna conscious state or liberated state influences the movement of the body. How their state of Krishna consciousness, because they are in the liberated state, isn't it? And in that liberated state, how does it influences the bodily movements? Cheshta. Answer to that, Krishna is saying here, Madartha Adartesh Anga Cheshta Cha Vajasa Madguna Rasam. In one word, Krishna summarized such a big thing. Madartham Anga Cheshta Cha. Artham. Madartham is the principle behind it. Madartham means that if their movements, if you understand their movement, in the background of this Upanishad's knowledge, then you will know that those movements represent one of the great Mahavakyams. One of these four Mahavakyams will be there in their movement. That's very difficult to explain that, because we have to understand first the Mahavakyams well. Realize that it's only possible for the liberated souls. It's only for the liberated souls. They will only understand. Arjuna asked a question that he thought that probably what do they do when they are liberated? How do they do things? And out of that curiosity, Arjuna asked that question. Krishna didn't answer that directly. Did you notice that? As usual, never gave the straight answer. Spoke in a different way. He spoke about sthita prajnatvam in a person. That's what Krishna did. Sthita prajnatvam, what happens to that person? So that is how Krishna answered that part in the Bhagavad Gita. It is in the second chapter. So, so in bhakti process, all the cheshta, anga cheshta, or the movement of the body, is not allowing the body to do anything else apart from serving Krishna. That is the bhakti process. So cheshta means that vishama chalanam, they call it. Vishama chalanam means It's acting and you have not any control over it. It's just happening like that. So, the main reason why the body moves, do you know why this body moves different ways? Because Swarup, the answer is given in the Shastram as Swarupa Vibhramsham. I'll explain that what it means. Swarupa Vibhramsham, that is the word they use. In other words, when you have fallen away from the spiritual realized state, when you have fallen down from the spiritual realized state, the body starts moving. Otherwise, it is meant to be in the samadhi state, isn't it? The body is meant to be in a samadhi state, perfectly peace, in shanti. It has to stay. But body's movement is completely dependent on this movement away from the realized state. So that is what is called Swarupa Vibhramsham. Swarupa means our self-realized state. From there we have fallen off. From there we have fallen away. And that's what the bodily started. And those who are completely fallen, they'll be very active in this world. They'll be so busy in this world when they completely lost their identity with the body. That is why great devotees, when they pray to Krishna, if you look at their prayers, you will see this one thing they will mention. If my body is doing something wrong without my understanding, body will act. Body is meant to act. It will act like this, one way or the other. If it is acting like that, it should not go against the Vedic injunctions. That is one prayers they have to Krishna. They say to Krishna that if my body is acting, whatever karman the body is doing, vedai sarvani karmani, any karman this body is doing, let that be under the Vedic rules and regulations, under the injunction of the Vedam, so that it does not go and do any nonsense out of the rules imposed by Shastram. Krishna also says the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita. Vedai sarvani karmani. If any activity the body is doing, it should do in such a way, abhala bharadaya. Abhala bharadaya means that not looking for results and profit from that. You have to tie this body down first, because if body goes and does things expecting results and with ownership, I am the doer, what will happen? Karma vasana will be created inside. And that karma vasana will grow, it will create another body for you, or another life in this world. That is why first thing to tie this body down. That's why all work, what the body does, it should be done in such a way that it does not create another new body. Remember this, body comes from the mind. Mind does not come from the body. That's why Krishna hits at the mind, not at the body. Body is not a big problem. Mind is a whole problem, because this body has been created by the mind, isn't it? Karma vasana inside fructified and this body has come. Now, but this body will drop one day and go. But if you fill that box inside, subtle body box, if you fill that again with more vasanas, what does it do? It will create another body again. So that is why it is mentioned, Vedai sarvani karmani abhala bharadaya varnidani. If ever this body still does things without my control, if it does something, at least let it do in such a way without expect any results from that work. That is one prayer. Vedai sarvani karmani abhala bharadaya varnidani iti buddhva tani tvayarpidani tamahi samanujaranyani naishkarmyamishe. If those karman that is being performed by the body, if some of them may not be under my control, I may have no control over some of the things what I am doing. It is due to circumstances or due to induced by other forces in this nature. Things can happen. I may engage. But even in that situation, abhala bharadaya, without expectation of results from that, let it do anything in this world. So, first thing is this karma yogam. Krishna begins with that, isn't it? Karma yogam for this reason only, that body should not create more vasana and more body further bodies after that. സോ വർണ്ണിതാനി ബുദ്ധ്വാതാനി ത്വയർപ്പിതാനി തമഹി സമനുചരൻ യാനി നൈഷ്കർമ്മ്യ ഭീഷേം മാ ബുദ്ധേർ ദുർനിഷിദ്ധേർ കുഹചിരഭിമന കർമ്മവാചാം പ്രവൃത്തേർ മാ ബുദ്ധേർ ദുർനിഷിദ്ധേർ ഇഫ് അവർ ഐ ആം എൻഗേജ്ഡ് ഇൻ കർമ്മം ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ലെറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് കർമ്മം ബി അറ്റ്ലീസ്റ്റ് വിത്തൗട്ട് ബ്രേക്കിംഗ് ദ റൂൾസ് ഓഫ് വേദിക് ഇഞ്ചങ്ഷൻസ് at least within that restricted within because Vedas restrict certain activities in this world isn't it what you are allowed let's not fall into the sinful activities in other words let it not become a sinful activity like sinful activity does not mean the four regulative principles only you have to remember that also sinful activities means that any activity exploiting another living entity all these are sinful activities we are not meant to do that such things isn't it or any other ugra karma as they refer to in the bhagavatam so all that is sinful activity so vedam does not allow all that forbids all that isn't it so vedai sarvani karmani abhala paradaya varnidani idi budhvadani knowing all these things toy arpidani if knowing all these things then if I have done something without understanding the way because nobody understands the whole vedic injunctions on karma if somebody asks you a question that is this allowed to do or not sometimes it's very difficult to answer that question isn't it so toyarpidani yavahi samanujaran yani naishkarmyamishe if we do like that it will become naishkarmya naishkarmya means no kartrutvam no bhoktrutvam in there no kartrutvam no bhoktrutvam in there if a karma happens like that through this body where I have no kartrutvam no bhoktrutvam then that karma is karma yogam that karma is karma yogam any activity if any activity happens through this body but if I have no ownership of that work or that activity in which I don't take the I do not have the I am the doer or I am the enjoyer of the results if an action happens through this body it will create no vasanas inside and you are safe from that that is why it's called naishkarmya mishe ma bhudvair dvair nishiddhe that is one aspect of it now ma bhudvair dvair nishiddhe there are so many activities which are forbidden by the shastram in a life sometimes it can happen some of our activities may be forbidden by shastram in that case what should we do that is another question isn't it especially in the modern world because we don't live under any strict code of discipline isn't it there is no nobody follows anything now everybody does what they like shastram does not control our life anymore is it so because it is like that this injunction becomes more difficult also difficult to remember difficult to understand and difficult to follow as well when the shastram was written in the time when the rishis gave us this knowledge of the karmam and the rules associated with that what the smritis talk about people followed them and but a time has come now we can see mostly in this world most of the people do not are not controlled by any shastram any scripture even though we may say I follow this I follow that practically everybody finds it very difficult to follow anything because that's the situation in the world there's nothing you can say about it you can't blame anyone for that that's the way the things are today so that's why it says ma bhudvair dvair nishiddhair if something happens in life without our I had to do something without my without it was not authorized by the shastram kuhajita bhimana karma vajam pravrtiram കർമ്മം വാചം പ്രവൃത്തി ഇൻ മൈ ആക്ഷൻ ഇൻ മൈ വേർഡ്സ് ആൻഡ് ഇൻ മൈ ദ്വർനിഷിദ്ധേർ കുഹചിതഭി മനഃകർമ്മവാചം പ്രവൃത്തേർ ഇഫ് മൈ മൈൻഡ് ഗെറ്റ് ഇൻവോൾവ്ഡ് ഇൻ എനി ഓഫ് ദീസ് തിങ്സ് കർമ്മവാച പ്രവൃത്തേർ ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഇഫ് മൈ മൈൻഡ് തോട്ട് അബൌട്ട് സം ആക്ടിവിറ്റി വിച്ച് ഹവ് ഡൺ വിച്ച് ഈസ് നോട്ട് അപ്രൂവ്ഡ് ബൈ ശാസ്ത്രം വിച്ച് ഈസ് നോട്ട് അപ്രൂവ്ഡ് ബൈ ശാസ്ത്രം നോൺ വെരി വെൽ ദാറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഫോർബിഡൻ തിങ് മാബോധ്വൈർധ്വൈർമിഷിദ്ധൈർകുഹചിതമിമന് കർമ്മവാചാം പ്രവൃത്തിർ ദുർവർജം ചേതവാപ്തം തദവികലുവൈ അർപ്പയേ ചിൽപ്രകാശേ. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദാറ്റ് വൈൽ മേക്കിംഗ് ഓഫറിങ്സ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ, യു മേക്ക് ഓഫറിംഗ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ, ഇസ്ന്നെ ഹൗ ഡു യു ഓഫർ ടു കൃഷ്ണ? ഇൻ ദ ടെമ്പിൾ ഓർ അറ്റ് ഹോം, വെറെവർ യു വർഷിപ്പ് ദ ഡെയ്റ്റി ഫോം, യു ഓഫർ ടു കൃഷ്ണ. While offering to Krishna, there are certain restrictions, is it not? You cannot offer anything and everything you like, but there are certain rules to be followed. So when you offer something to Krishna in that way, that is Krishna's personal aspect. You offer all these things to him, like people offer food cooked to deities, flowers, fruits, and incense, water, so many things we offer to Krishna in the deity. And sometimes people offer other things also. For example, farmers will offer their produce. When they produce from the field, they will offer various fruits and vegetables. And sometimes people do various things they offer to Krishna, isn't it? But you can't offer everything to Krishna. There is limitations on that. Limitations means there are rules associated with that. But when activities happen which are forbidden, nishiddham, nishiddham means forbidden, ma bodhvair dvair nishiddhair, and if my mind has got involved in all that, some forbidden things I've got involved in that, kuhachil api mana karma vacham pravrtir durvarjam, I should not have done that, but I've gone and done it. Something I've gone and done that. I should not have done that because we don't know the rules now and we do all sorts of things in this world. Sometimes you may be working for a company. Company may be doing a lot of nonsense in all parts of the world. You are just working for the company. You are part of that team. And it's unavoidable that you have to share that good things like you share and bad things also you have to share from that, isn't it? So that's why these things are very complex nowadays, because the way the industry has expanded now and majority of the people are occupied in the industrial lifestyle, so everyone has a share of that as well. So, but he says here, durvarjam chedavaptam, the results of those activities, it cannot be directly offered to Krishna, but Krishna is another aspect of Brahman where everything can be offered. That is that Brahman aspect of Krishna. Durvarjam chedavaptam tadabigalu bhave arpaye chilprakashe. That chilprakasham is this. That Krishna's Brahman aspect, all other things, what you cannot offer to Krishna directly at the temple must be offered. Still, it should be offered to Krishna. That is the principle. It's a difficult thing to get the practically in life, but this is how the devotee spoke to Krishna about that. So, so without my knowledge, without my control of the mind, because I don't have a control of the mind, mind will dictate to me something is good, why not do it? I won't look at the rules and regulations at that time, because the greed or any kind of desires inside may override other things, the rules, shastram, isn't it? So in that situation, when it comes and when the results come, knowing very well that I am not, it has happened through me, and admitting that it's a pride inside, and without taking any pride in that, offering that to Krishna. So in ideal, the principle behind this is, all this is, that no activity you should get the ownership. That's the idea behind it. In any activity what you do, we all have that pride inside. Abhimanam, isn't it? Abhimanam mandalam. I have done this, I have done that. So all time, whether it is good activity or bad activity, in all situations, the ownership of that particular action should not come into our false ego. It should not come and influence the false ego. That is the reason behind it. It should not come there. And offering everything to Krishna without seeing, knowing very well whether it is good results or bad results that has come, offering all that to Krishna, that is called Bhagavata Dharma. That is Bhagavata Dharma. So that Madarte Shanga Cheshtaha, So, suppose one brings flowers to the temple, and but knowing very well that it is offered to Krishna, it should be brought. But any activity in this world, if you look into the devotee's life, for example, all the great devotees who have served Krishna in different occupations, you will notice that what occupation they did was not important. What they did in this world was not important. The important thing is that they were offered everything to Krishna. They offered everything to Krishna. So, that bhavam or mood is more important. Mood is more important. So, in fact, even we may be doing all sorts of activity, working in the kitchen, doing work in the garden, or various kinds of things. In all that, if you shouldn't think that, oh, this is my misfortune that I have to work in this kitchen, rather I'll be working in the office, which I'm meant for something higher than this. If you start thinking like that, Bhagavad Dharma is not possible. Many people think like that, isn't it? They think that, oh, this kind of work, I never liked doing this work. I'm meant for doing something higher. If such a thing happens, then Bhagavad Dharma is not possible. That's what Krishna is saying. Bhagavad Dharma means, whatever work we are doing, it does not matter. That is not important. What is important is that, he says, that relationship with Krishna, even in that particular activity, how that is, that bhavam inside. That is a sadhana. It is called bhava sadhana. Bhava sadhana means bhavam in sadhana. We have misunderstood so many things. What can we do about it? We think that spiritual life is only chanting and sitting in the temple doing arati. Everything else is nothing to do with spiritual life. That's not how it is to be understood. Everything, the whole life activity in the vacant state has to be centered around Krishna. When we are awake, everything what we do has to centered around Krishna. That's why it's mentioned. Sometimes it so happens that when communism was very prominent, isn't it, at one time. Communism was very prominent. So sometimes these pujaris also in the temple, they became communists. Some of them became communists also. And they were doing deity worship. So, you know, they do the deity worship, the communists. They go to the temple. They say to the deity like this. They say to them that they brought cooked the offering and brought it here in front of the deity. They address the deity, oh my dear stone. My dear stone, I have brought the food for you and I brought the flowers for you, and if you want to heat it up, there is a fire, you can heat it up. And I'm going, he says. There are pujaris like that, there were pujaris like that, who did deity worship like this. Will that be deity worship, if you do like that? Why? They took that as a profession. They took that as a profession. So if you take this pujari's work as a profession, then what will happen? This will happen, isn't it? There's not practically much difference from those who are making a living from that and those who are doing the communist way of worshipping. Where is the difference? There. Whole deity worship is centered around the bhavam inside. That is so important that people cannot come to understand these things. They are saying this, that communists took it to the extreme, because they openly said, I have no faith in this, but I am doing it because it's my job, he said. So they started doing it like this. Of course, they didn't survive very long. They were thrown out and brought some other people were brought inside. But quite often it happens that you will see end up with people who have no faith in anything. They're just doing it. It's my work. This is the work I've got. I'm doing it. That's their attitude. So what's the use of that? That's why in bhakti, bhavam is important. That mood matters. It matters a lot more than anything else. It's only the mood that matters. Nothing else in bhakti. Jnanam shraddha matters. In bhakti, that mood matters. Bhakti, bhavam is the most important thing. So at the moment, because we have a material body, body has to be engaged. Body has to be engaged. So therefore, all this deity worship process and to tie this body down to some discipline, they have established all these things. Remember yesterday we talked about this. This body, from an absolute platform, it is useless. It is no use to us. This body is of no use to us from an absolute level, paramarthiyam. Because our relationship with body has started not by our own accord. It has come to us due to the karma vasana. Material body put this cloth on us and we are forced to work with this. Doesn't mean that body has to be destroyed. It has to be allowed to go on its own way. But not to think that this body is everything and to work on that principle. So, this bhavam, bhakti bhavam, Krishna is mentions here, adara parijay malbhakta madarte shankujeshta javadasa madgune ranam. See that word? Mayarpanam jamanasa. Mind is the main thing. It should be offered to Krishna. Mayarpanam jamanasa. Sarvakama vivarjanam. Sarvakama vivarjanam means no desires inside. With the desire, if you do deity worship, Krishna will never appear there. Krishna will stay behind. We have a very interesting stories in the Bhagavatam about that. We'll come to that later. So Krishna says here, Madarte shanga cheshtaja vajasamad guneranam mayarpanam jamanasa sarvakama vivarjidam. Sarvakama vivarjidam. So continuously Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, continuously talk about me, talk about Krishna. And that will purify us. Not that Krishna wants to hear, but that will purify us. So, is it possible to glorify Krishna? That is another question, isn't it? Is it possible to glorify Krishna? There is a prayer about that. Sri Parvati and Lord Shiva talking about it. And it mentions there that
Asidagiri samam syat kajjalam sindhu patre suradaru varashaka lekhani patramurvi likhati yadi grihitva sharada sarvakalam tadabitava gunanam ishaparam nayadi Asidagiri samam syat kajjalam sindhu patre.
The poetical way the devotee is saying this, that Sri Parvati and Saraswati Devi, they wanted to glorify Shiva. And they started writing, they wanted the ink for that. What they did that, Asidagiri Madhyar, they smashed up all the mountains and they dissolved that in the sea. They dissolved that in the sea. And to Devadaru trees they used as the writing pen, for the pen to write. And they are writing all over the earth. And who is the who is the writer? Saraswati Devi. Saraswati is writing then. And they kept on writing and they could not complete that writing yet. So unlimited is the transcendental qualities of Krishna. So it is not for glorifying Krishna, for my own purification. For my own purification. Punamithyarthe esmin puramadhana buddhirvavasidaha. That for our own purification, we have to do that. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, vajasa madgune rasam. Purification will only happen if we engage in glorification of Krishna. Glorification of Krishna. So, that is why you will notice that there is this, Shivananda Lahiri, this famous words, that the... After everything to Shiva, everything offering to Shiva, Acharya Swamiji says to him that I have found something much more useful for you, he says, to offer. I've offered everything. Devotees discuss like this with the deity whom they are worshipping. Krishna's devotees, Shiva devotees, they all worship each, talk to each other. So he says to him that I have offered you so many things, but you don't seem to be pleased with me, everything. Probably I have to do something else to please you, he says. Once it so happened, Arjuna has come and with his bow smashed Shiva's head. Isn't it? That story is there in the Kirati, Kirata Arjuniyam. It means when Arjuna before he got his Pashupadam, there was a pastime between Shiva and Arjuna. Shiva and Sri Parvati, in the dress of a hunter and hunter woman, they went into the forest and they saw Arjuna shot an arrow at a boar. Shiva also shot an arrow at the same boar. And there was an argument between whose arrow has killed the boar. And in that process, Arjuna and Shiva got into a big argument. And Arjuna took his bow and smashed Shiva's head. At that time, Shiva showed his real form to him, to Arjuna. And then Arjuna fell down there and started crying for what he has done. And that is when, pleased with Arjuna's courage, Shiva offered him Pashupadam to him. That is a famous story in there. So Sri Parvati also came out in her original form as Sri Parvati at that time. So Arjuna smashed your head and you are pleased with him. Do I have to smash your head? He says. Is that how you will do something about it? Because I am running after you whole lifetime. Do something about my situation. I am like this suffering here in this body with so many problems. But you don't seem to care. So they will talk to each other like this. Tyagaraja used to go and talk to Ramchandra everything about his brother, how his brother is giving him trouble. The brother used to give him a lot of trouble. Brother was struggling, you can't blame him, he was an ordinary person. He was completely absorbed in this world. He had his wife and children. Added to that, Tyagaraja one brother, and brother won't do any work, completely depending on this brother to support him. So this carried on, and sometimes he could not tolerate. Why can't he do some work and earn some money? But Tyagaraja had no time. He was busy with glorifying Ramachandra. So brother got so upset with him, and every time brother gets really heavy with him, he will go and talk to Ramachandra about it and say to this Ramachandra, this is what is going on with me, what you are not doing anything about it. So Ramachandra says to him, you have to live with all these things in this world. Whatever problems you have to live with that in this world. So, Acharya Swamiji says to Shiva that I've done everything what I can. Now what do I supposed to do? There are so many different devotees relate with Krishna or Shiva in different ways, isn't it? So, he says to him that because Shiva is known for bhiksha, isn't it? He wanders around with a skull and the hand and begs for food. That is one of the pastimes of Shiva. So there he says to him that when you go for begging for food, I'll hand over you a nice monkey to you. You take this monkey with you. Because this monkey, he can play all sorts of games. No other monkey can play this game. Acharya words to Shiva. And this monkey, I'll hand over the rope with which you hold this monkey, and he will play every game you ask him to do. If you take care of him, I'll be very grateful to you, he says. And what is that monkey? He's talking about his own mind. Mind is like a monkey, isn't it? What it will do next moment, nobody knows. Nobody, one's own mind. We may say so many things, but we know how this can create problems, this mind. Is it not? So he says to him, this handing over one's own mind to Krishna is one of the best process of offering to Krishna. More than offering food, more than offering wealth, gold, higher than all that is offering this mind to Krishna, which is the most difficult thing. We are more happy to offer the food or offer the gold or anything else. But when it comes to offering one's own mind, we find it very difficult, isn't it? Oh no, mind should be under my control, not anybody else's control. So, because mind will move, mind will not stay quiet. So, just like mind's the nature of the mind, you will hear so many things from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. But when you get up and walk out from here, the mind will tell you, is this all possible? That's enough. Gone, everything gone. 4 hours you heard Srimad Bhagavatam, in 1 second, out. Whole thing gone from inside. Wasted 4 hours, that's all. This is how the mind is. Mind will tell you so many things and it will develop this strong negative impact inside. So, you can see, a few days chanting 16 rounds is sufficient.
You'll start feeling some thoughts inside. I think I'm doing more or less like Sudev Goswami. It's not too bad. This is the way the mind is. We start immediately started equating with them. Mind starts telling, if Prabhupada can do it, I can do it as well. I should start a movement now. All sorts of ideas like this the mind will present in front of you. Isn't it? This is the nature of the mind. Because the very fact that, and when you start thinking about what kinds of thoughts are coming through the mind, you start wondering, what control have you got over this? This thing called mind, isn't it? Mind has driven everyone crazy in this world. There's no one who has escaped from the mind, including Lord Shiva. He admits that, isn't it? When Mohinimurti's form was taken, when Shiva saw Mohini's form, Sri Parvati, Ganesh and Kartikeya was there, completely forgotten all of them and ran after Mohinimurti. And so this is the way Vishwamitra Maharshi from Shakuntala was born later on. When Vishwamitra Maharshi was a powerful personality, went to execute various austerities and penances, and in the forest suddenly got attracted by Menaka, and Brahmarishi is called, isn't it? A personality who created a set of heavenly planets between the heavenly planet and this earthly planet. That is Vishwamitra, isn't it? He kept Trishangu there, holding on to that. Indra could not do anything about it because he created these heavenly planets in that way. A complete heavenly planets he created, Vishwamitra Maharshi. So that Vishwamitra Maharshi, when he saw Menaka, the mind moved. He couldn't do anything. What happened then? Menaka came and danced and gone away. Only thing what happened was Shakuntala was born. That is the only thing what happened after that. So this is the nature of this mind. And similarly, you can see here that this tricks of the mind, how does it do that? The problem with this mind is this, that that for a few minutes, if the mind has not created any thoughts inside, chitavritti inside, then you will see, oh, I am in a very nice situation. Before you think anything about that, it will create another havoc, something else. It will drive you mad in some other form, isn't it? So, that is why mana, manasa, the word come from mana. Now, if you change this letter, mana, the other way, nama, the only way to come out of this mind is pay your obeisances to Krishna. There is no other way. There is no other way you can escape from that. But we have to understand this mind also. Mind is a powerful energy inside. And who planted this inside? Who planted this mind inside? Krishna's another potency is this mind. Remember this? It comes from the Chit Shakti. The mind comes from the Chit Shakti. And that is why another name of Sri Parvati is given as the mind. Manaha. It says in the Lalidasa Sahasranamam, Sri Parvati is addressed as the mind. There is a famous book known as Saundari Lahari. In that Saundari Lahari, you will see a verse which says, Manastvam Vyomatvam Marudasi Marudsaradirasir Tumastvam Bhumistvai Parinadayam Mahiparam Tumeva Swatmanam Parinamayidam Vishyavapusham Chidananda Akaram Shiva Yuvadi Bhava Shiva Yuvati Bhavena Bibrushem Manastvam Vyomastvam. We think mind is our enemy, isn't it? When you read that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, you have to be very careful about that. There it says, mind is your friend as well as mind is your enemy, it says. Actually, strictly speaking, mind is enemy, it becomes an enemy, and also it is very flickering, isn't it? Mind is very flickering. And actually it is nothing but a peculiar power or potency of the Maya. Maya is also addressed as Sri Parvati. Parvati Devi's another aspect is this mind, a powerful force that's coming from the Maya. So, and that force, if mind is not there, you can't experience anything in this world, isn't it? It's through the mind you are experiencing everything. Experience in the sense, For example, if the senses are operating, but if the mind is not there, you can't have that experience of the senses. I'm talking about experience of the senses, not the one from the soul. But in the world, in relationship with sense objects, if you have to enjoy any senses in this world, both happiness and distress, whatever that sense objects are giving, behind that the mind should be there. Otherwise you won't experience anything, isn't it? So, in other words, Mahamaya's one of the most subtle power is this mind, Sushma Shakti. That's why in the Devi Bhagavatam, when they are praying like this, Ya Devi Sarva Bhudeshu Mano Rubena Samsthita Namastase 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 Namo Nama. The Ya Devi, Sri Parvati, who is present in Sarva Bhudeshu, all living entities, as Mano Rubena Samsthita, as the mind, to that potency of Sri Parvati, I pay my obeisances. That's how that prayer goes. So here, that Sushma Shakti, and so, and it is no point in saying that I'm feeling the pain or I'm suffering from that, because this mind is hers. She has planted that inside every one of us, this thing called mind. And knowing very well that this mind is her manifestation in me, knowing very well that it is her presence in me and it is her manifestation, knowing very well that and offering that to him, to Krishna, or to her, to the Maya, and staying out of it is the way to escape from that. So it is not our potency, it's not ours, that mind, because this mind and the ego, they work together. Mind and the ego, they work together. If you remember, we have mind, we have the intelligence, we have the false ego, and we have what is known as chittam. These four things are in the subtle body. Mind, intelligence, false ego, and chittam. Mind, as you know, that what creates all the sankalpam, vikalpam, everything. Intelligence is the one which makes the decision of all the sankalpams what we have. And false ego is the ahankaram. And chittam is that continuous flow of the vasanas that is going through the subtle body. That is the chittam. So, although they are individually designated like that, in essence they are one. This Sushma Shakti of Maya that is inside us. That is that subtle body inside us. That carries a vasana inside. All our vasanas what we have accumulated in life, karma vasana, that's all stacked up there. In different lifetimes what we have brought with us. And in one package of this Sushma Shariram or the subtle body, all these four activities are happening within that. In general, the whole package is called as manas, mind. Called as mind. So, Krishna says here that keeping that manastvam yomastvam marudasi marudsararadidasi, that like the sky, it is from the, if you look into the creation process also, you will see there that the space and the time, they all come from the mind, the same force that is coming from yoga, from Maya, from Maya's force. So therefore Krishna says to Arjuna, to Arjuna that, you remember this verse, Ishwara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe Arjuna tishtadi Brahmayan sarvabhudani yandrarudhani mayaya. That verse comes here. Because Krishna's, that expansion as Yogamaya or Mahamaya, Maya, Sri Parvati in other form, situated within everyone's heart, hriddeshe Arjuna tishtadi Brahmayan sarvabhudani. It is that force that is making us running around in this world in this crazy way. What is going on? We have no control over it. Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. That word is in the Bhagavad Gita. So he mentions there also the Arjuna. He says to Arjuna, Arjuna, it's me. When Krishna says it's me, the Maya energy there, who is sitting there and doing this. If you want to escape from that, you hand over that machine to the operator who is operating this machine. Krishna says, I am operating that inside everyone. when in the form of Ishwara, he didn't say Krishna, he didn't say I am doing it. Krishna said Ishwara Sarvabhudanam. As Ishwara I am doing that, he said. Ishwara Sarvabhudanam Hridyeshe Arjuna Tishtati. Rather than saying Krishna, I am doing it directly, he said as Ishwara, that is why he is called Ishwara. Ishwara is that aspect of Krishna where he controls all the living entities all times. We are all under complete control of that force inside us, isn't it? All the time, all of us are under the control of that force inside. Ishwara force, Ishwara's force. Ishwara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. And then what does he do? Brahmayan sarvabhudani. Brahmayan means it makes you run around in this world, not knowing what for we are running. We don't even know what we are doing here. We are all here, but we don't know what we are here for. We all seems to be very clear in what we are doing, but no one seems to understand what are we here for. Brahmayan sarvabhudani. Not only us, all living entities. Krishna is saying, all living entities, Brahmayan. Brahmayan, right way to know that is, you see this giant wheel, like the London Eye, that thing. Now, London Eye is not frightening so much. But if you go to the Salton Towers and all that, they got these giant wheels, isn't it? You pay for it and you get inside that. And then you will switch on and it starts moving. Famous rides, isn't it? Cobra and all kinds of names they have given for that. You'll see in many, many places they have got it now. Young boys, girls, they go and sit on that, they enjoy it very much. Isn't it? They scream when they in a very frightening mood when it comes, they completely get, they enjoy it, that thrill that they get from there. But if we go and sit on that, what will happen? What will be our situation? We got into one of them to see what it is like. After 1 minute or so, wanted to come out of it, but you can't come out. Because you paid for it, isn't it? Paid and invited bought that misery. Paid misery it is. From then on, wanted to stop it somehow. We can't do anything about it. Because the man says, you paid for it, the ride is not over yet. You have to sit there till it's over. So that's our situation in this world also. Brahmayan sarvabhudani. Nothing we can do about it. We come to this body and we come to this world and all signs of things are happening here. And we have no control over anything. Brahmayan sarvabhudani yandrarudhani mayaya. Just like somebody has got onto that pirate ship or giant wheel or whatever that's called. In the similar way, we have got into this body. Maya is running this body and doing so many things with this body for which we have no control over it. That's the point. So, Krishna says here that in that situation, says to Arjuna, hand over to the operator. Tameva sharanam gacchas sarvabhavena bharatam. Sarvabhavena bharata il prasadal param shandim. Sthanam prapsasi shashvadam. Sthanam prapsasi shashvadam. So, therefore, manastvam vyomastvam, mind is not ours. Krishna is saying this to us because this first manifestation of Sri Parvati is this mind. You see, you should not worry too much about the personal aspect of it, because when we discuss creation, if you bring personality into it, you'll get confused a lot. The same personality in the creation process, it's from the mind, other creation happens. From the mind. This mind is such an energy. Sri Parvati's direct manifestation is this mind. Now, one person who is worshipping Shiva and Parvati will address it as Parvati. One who is worshipping Ramachandra and Sita Devi will address the mind as Sita Devi. One who is worshipping Radharani and Krishna will address the mind as Radharani. But it is that she. Whether it is Radharani or Sita Devi or Sri Parvati, it is their personality we address in these names, but the potency manifests inside us as the mind. If you understand that way, it's much easier. The potency of Sita Devi, Radharani, Sri Parvati, they manifest, or Lakshmi Devi, whichever way you want, it's Narayana. Those who worshippers of Narayana, they will accept it's Lakshmi Devi's manifestation. So that manifested energy in us is this mind. Is this mind. So so that is the first Sri Parvati's or Sita Devi's first incarnation is this mind. First incarnation is this mind inside us. Because if you look at this mind, you can see how it controls us whole day. Is it not? The moment you wake up in the morning, till you go to bed at night, till you go into the deep sleep state, she runs the whole show. You have to look at it this way also. We are thinking we are busy with the world. Actually, if you look at it this way, 80% or 90% of your time you are living in your mind, not in the world. Physically you are here, but most of the time, if you look, observe yourself, you will see you are actually living in your mind, not in the world. Outside world, so many things are going on. Only when you observe something for a second or so, or a few minutes, the mind will go outside. But once you withdraw from there, it comes back to the thought process again. Chittavritti happens inside and you are stuck in there. So that powerful is this mind, and that is Sri Parvati's first manifestation inside us. Inside us. So she appears first as the mind and then starts all the other activity. The sky, the space. Manastvam vyomastvam. So Saundaryalahari verse it is, very famous that is. And it says there that so here talking about this mind, coming back to this, mind, if you keep on observing this mind, you will notice so many interesting things. Jnanamargam, you stay the mind out of it, you completely reject the mind, not allow the mind to get involved. Krishna is saying to us in a way, in the Bhagavad Gita, in a different way. Have you noticed that? Devi Khesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duraktaya Mam Eva Ye Prabhadyande Maya Medam Tarantite. That is a verse in the 4th or 5th chapter. Devi Khesha Gunamayi. That Maya is Devi Maya. And what is the beauty of this Maya, which comes as the mind, is Gunamayi. Three modes of material nature are there in this mind. Is it not? Sattvam, Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. Three modes. They are present inside this. They are present inside this mind. So when they are present inside this mind, it says here that because the three modes of material nature is present there, Krishna is saying to us that she, mind, because it's her expansion or incarnation, this mind is, she, the mind, will not listen to anybody. It's like this, just like when you go to some houses, you know, they've got dogs there. You're frightened, isn't it? When to go inside or not. So, I don't know here, but in India what they do, they put a big board there outside. Beware of the dog before coming into the house. So that means that if you are bitten, I'm not responsible. You are responsible. That's what it implied in that. So similarly, in that verse, that's what Krishna is telling us. Krishna's beware of the dog is that verse. Devi Khesha Gunamayi. If you take that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Devi Khesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratheya. Be careful while you are dealing with Maya. If she bites you, don't come back to me complaining about it. It's Krishna's dog that is, that mind, who is present there, which is an expansion of the Maya, is Maya's expansion that mind is. If you go into Haridwar, you will see a temple there called Manasa Devi. Manasa Devi temple. What is that Manasa Devi temple? Manasa Devi, the expansion of the mind of Sri Parvati, that is what is worshipped there. And on the top of the hill, it is there. So, even if you go there and try to absorb in meditation, you won't be able to meditate. Mind will go somewhere else, drive you somewhere else. So, you may be meditating, but your mind will be in the share market, where the shares are going up or down. And just like the you know, the ECG, when they make the graph goes up and down, similarly your blood pressure is also going up and down when the share market goes up and down in the same way. So same thing. So mayarpanam jamanasaha, Krishna says here, mayarpanam jamanasaha. There's only one way we can escape from this. Hand over this mind to Krishna. Hand over the mind to Krishna. So Krishna says here that it's one of the one thing what Krishna wants from us is this mind, not anything else. He says whether you give me other things or not doesn't matter. But if you hand over the mind to me, then you will be out of the trouble. You'll be out of the trouble. So suppose we keep on saying my mind, my mind, my mind, we'll get into more trouble. Where will there be any peace inside? Because you know this word peace of mind, isn't it? Those two things don't go together. If there is mind, there will be no peace. So the word itself is wrong. Thing called peace of mind. It's a wrong word, usage. Because peace and mind cannot go together. Mind's job is to create trouble. And how can there be peace inside? There will never be any. If you need to get a peace for a couple of minutes, after that, it will create such a havoc immediately that. So, whatever technique or method or process you use to control this mind, remember, all the techniques, methods, everything is again coming from the mind only. See the problem? People are running all sorts of courses and seminars to control. They say, we'll teach you the technique how to control the mind, or tell you the process how to control the mind. Different people say different things, isn't it? They give you all sorts of ideas, techniques and methods to control the mind. Remember, even that's given by the mind. So how will it going to work? It cannot work. It cannot work. That's why when we come to spiritual life, first thing is to understand this mind, the activities of this mind, and as a devotee, offer that to Krishna, the mind. That means accepting everything, no matter what happens in life. It is Krishna who is in control. If I have to suffer through this mind and separating ourselves, that's why Krishna mentions there, separate yourself from the mind. Don't associate with the mind. You think it's yours, 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 you are thinking like that. But in reality, it's not yours. It is Sri Parvati's presence inside you in the form of the mind. She is there. Manastvam vyomastvam. That mind is her first expansion inside us. And she is creating all this havoc. Either you surrender to her or you surrender to Krishna. That's the choice we have. Either hand over to Krishna or hand over to Sri Parvati. Let her do what she wants to do with it. So one thing you have to know, no technique will work as far as the mind is concerned. So then that is where finally it comes surrender, Sharanagati. Sharanagati is the only thing that will work. That means Sharanagati means complete surrender to Krishna. Handing over everything to Krishna to do. That everything what is inside this package. The apareya mitastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yedam dharide jagat. That five material elements inside, bhumi rapanalo vayu, come, the sky, manobuddhi revacha, isn't it? They are all aparaprakriti. That is all aparaprakriti. And that should be aparaprakriti. Mind, body, senses, false ego, everything is aparaprakriti. That aparaprakriti is not in our control, it is in her control. Maya Devi is Prakriti's control. Remember, we remember this, we talked yesterday also. If we keep on thinking this is my body, this is my mind, this is my intelligence, one day you will feel a lot of pain when it gives you trouble. When you recognize that it's not yours, it's somebody else's. Prakriti, material nature, she owns that. For example, if it rains, does the Prakriti ask us, shall we have some rain now? Nobody consults us, is there? It rain comes. When it wants to rain, it rains. So, similarly, this body, mind, intelligence also in us is controlled from outside, not from inside. We have somehow this foolish concept in our head planted that everything is under our control. That is why Bhagavad Gita is saying, initially take this Aparaprakriti and Paraprakriti, separate it. We are part of Paraprakriti, the spiritual nature. That's our connection. We are nothing to do with the Aparaprakriti. Aparaprakriti is Maya. Prakriti has created this body. Prakriti has created this mind. Prakriti has created the intelligence, the ego, everything associated with that. And she knows how long to keep it, and she knows when to take it out from here. And she knows how to run this also inside. If we stay away from that, it is possible that that ownership of everything what I am doing, I am responsible, that will go away from inside. Without that, it is not possible to make spiritual progress. Without this understanding, it's not possible to make spiritual progress. Because in spirituality, every day now everyone talks about spirituality, but spirituality is this, that knowing well what we are, without knowing this, in ignorance I am acting, thinking that I am this body, I am this mind, I am this intelligence, Krishna is giving me trouble, Krishna has put me through all these problems, everything. But from the Upanishad's understanding, the rishis are telling us that this body, this mind, intelligence and all is nothing but something has been put on you by material nature, and she will take it back from you when the purpose is finished. She has a reason for doing that, and we don't have to explore too much into it, because karma and karma vasana, what we have created, is the cause behind it. And if we understand this, only then Bhagavad Gita will make sense, otherwise it won't make any sense. Remember this, Krishna mentioned this in the beginning, in the second chapter. Remember that contradiction in the Bhagavad Gita. In one place Krishna is saying that you are changing one body to another, and najayade mriyade va kadachil nayam bhutva bhavido vana bhuya ajaha nityaha shashvadaha puranaha ajo nityam shashvadoyam puranam nahanyade hanyamane sharire. The soul what you are has no birth, has no death. Krishna says there is na jayade na mriyade. You don't take birth, you don't die. Va kadajil nayam bhutva bhavido vana bhuya. And this transformation is happening then. But you are eternal, you are unborn, and you are the oldest. Puranam. And even when the body is killed, you are not killed. Krishna said all that in one verse. After a few verses, Krishna is saying to us, Jatasya dhruva mrityur dhruvam janma mridasya cha. Krishna says, nobody can avoid a death. Now, if you put these two verses together, how can you come to an agreement? You will say that Krishna is contradicting something there. Actually, it's not a contradiction. We have to understand in the background of this, that Aparaprakriti is the one which is going through this transmigration, not the Paraprakriti. Paraprakriti has nothing to do with any of these things. If you are on the platform of Paraprakriti, transmigration doesn't affect. People ask this question. It's very, very funny. Sometimes people ask some funny questions. They won't understand anything and they will ask this question. So do you believe in reincarnation? Yes, yes. Oh, I see. So how do you explain that reincarnation? So you have to talk the whole Bhagavad Gita to them first for them to understand this, isn't it? Otherwise, how will they understand? They are seeing this body. They think I lose this body, again another body. It's not that simple, is it? That the subtle body inside is controlling everything. First of all, they have not even thought about there's a thing called subtle body inside operating. As far as death comes, everything is over for them. And they are the people who are sometimes some of these discussions in the television. They discuss these things, isn't it? They call different representatives from different religious groups. They put them all together and they are discussing, does God exist or not? You make a decision in a group like that. There are so many programs like that in the television. It's fun to watch them, the way they are carrying out these discussions, and they're making their own decisions based on their discussions. That shows the hollowness of the whole thing, the emptiness behind, without any understanding that how this body works, how the mind works, how the intelligence, ego, all these the subtle aspects of it is completely ignored in all that discussions. So the point here is, Krishna is saying here, Aparaprakriti, you don't take any ownership of that. Aparaprakriti, don't take any ownership. always assume that Aparaprakriti is owned by Maya Prakriti. It is also Aparaprakriti. It is her property. She knows what to do with it. Sometimes she may give you, and it's more interesting than that is how she plays with Aparaprakriti. She has to play with us all the time through this Aparaprakriti. Aparaprakriti is her medium through which she controls us, isn't it? So what she does is, she'll give you a lot of pain in so many ways. Sometimes pain in the body, pain in the mind, pain in the ego. Ego gets hurt when somebody offends you, you get hurt. And all kinds of problems she'll give you. And then suddenly she'll put a chocolate into your mouth and say, enjoy a little bit now. You've suffered enough. She is like a mother teasing the child. This Aparaprakriti, Maya, she is teasing us with these five things. Which one? Five material elements, the body, the mind, intelligence, ego. All these things, these are her control, not in our control. So, till we free ourselves from the effect of this Aparaprakriti, it is not possible to come to the spiritual platform, the platform of the soul. Soul has nothing to do with any of these things. Soul is completely independent. And that's why, but ajnanam or avidya, what we call as ignorance, is made us to think we are a part of Aparaprakriti, and therefore the misery starts from there. That's why Krishna is saying here. So, they give them sometimes this example. Somebody got into a train and he had his luggage, one box. He left it on the passageway where people have to walk through. And then he went to the platform to buy something. So there was one man sitting there and another third passenger came in. And he saw the box there, sitting on the way. He told him, is that your box? He didn't answer. So he says, can you remove it? He didn't answer. So then he said, I'm going to throw it away if you don't remove it, he says. He says, throw it then. He says, because it's not mine. This attitude we need to have towards this body and the mind. It's not mine, why should I bother? That is the way you need to deal with this mind and the body. Otherwise, if you start, it's mine, misery, 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 misery after that. That's what it will happen. This is, Krishna is telling us certain things to understand that what, because we don't know what we are suffering because of that. Not knowing what we are. Aparaprakriti's part is all these things. It is her property, this is. Just like this example is only to tell us, when he said, it's not mine, you can do what you like, he said. Then that person didn't do anything, not knowing whose it is. Because normally people will, he was threatening him that I'm going to throw this box away. He says, it's not mine, he said. Then only it opened his eyes, as if it's not yours, and somebody else may come and ask, take the ownership of the box, isn't it? So similarly, Prakriti, let her do it. If that's what she wants to do it, let her do it. With this body, she will give trouble. There is no question about that. If today, if not today, tomorrow, it's coming. It's not going to go easily. So better to be prepared for that, to accept that body is her property. She has given this and she will take it back. Mind is her property. She also knows how to manage this mind. And as much as we are aware of that thing, Krishna is saying the possibility that you won't suffer from that. This is what is knowledge. This is what Jnanamargam is all about, the knowledge side of it. So, as soon as you say something is mine, then the problem starts, is it not? Anything in this world, it is like that. If a car is going, another car comes from there, if they crash each other, I'm not getting disturbed about it, isn't it? I'll say, oh, insurance will pay, doesn't matter. But if it's my car, I won't be so comfortable about that. Is it not? So as soon as it becomes yours, mine, I have to suffer. It's a simple principle, isn't it? When it's yours, you feel the pain, you feel the suffering. Similarly, but we have somehow misunderstood that the body is mine. Body is not mine. I'm not this body, body is not mine. Body belongs to Aparaprakriti. Body is not meant for my enjoyment. All those things comes there. So, here, so, we offer flowers to Krishna. flowers to Krishna. Even while offering the flowers to Krishna or to the spiritual master, oh, everybody is doing it, I have to do it as well. So that is the understanding. But generally, more than offering all these flowers, offering anything else to Krishna or to the spiritual master, offering the mind is the higher offering. In this age, particularly, a lot of misunderstanding about spiritual life is very strong because of the way things are presented in the world. Like you can see that we understand spiritual master. How do we understand the spiritual master? Most of the people think spiritual master is that body, isn't it? That body. And they think that worshipping that body means offering flowers to him or offering an obeisances to him, offering various preparations to him, food prepared to him, massaging his feet, or doing any physical service to him is the service to the spiritual master. That's how most of the people think in this world, as far as their relationship with the spiritual master is concerned. You can observe yourself and see this. Majority of the people, their understanding is like this, that relationship with the spiritual master is offering the arati or offering the flowers or fruits or incense or whatever, massaging the feet, washing the feet, and paying your obeisances. That is what will please the spiritual master. Shastram is saying, Ishwaro Gurura Almaiva. Ishwara, Guru, Alma. These three are one. They are not different. The same soul is as Krishna, the Supreme Personality, as the spiritual master who guides you in spiritual life, and you, the person inside who is struggling for realization. It is Ishwaro Guru Almaiva Murti Bheda Vibhagina. One who starts separating them, these three, that thinking that they are all different, he does not understand. Vyomavad Vyapta Dehaya Dishnamote Nama. Vyomavad Vyapta Dehaya. Just as the sky is present in the pot, sky is present in the gross level in the sky, and sky is present in a small pot or a bigger pot, but it is the same sky which is present everywhere. Similarly, Ishwaro Guru Almaiva Moti Veda Vibhagina. If you start thinking that all three are different, then we are misunderstood. It is Krishna who comes as the spiritual master. Krishna is present inside as the soul, and all three are one. Krishna, the spiritual master, and the soul inside, they are all spirit. Isn't it? Alma. Krishna says this in the Ekadasha Skandam. Almano Gurura Almaiva. Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshen Anumana Abhyam Shreyasa Manuvindade. Again stresses the same point in the Bhagavadam also. So, here the problem is that we does this service to spiritual master and think that this is what pleases him. This misconception has come to our mind. But in reality, what pleases the spiritual master? If you take the message what Prabhupada or any great spiritual master has given to us, and if you put that into life and realize the truth, that is what will please Prabhupada more than all the other things what you have done for him. It is only for that reason in the Bhagavad Gita, when he wrote that introduction, you will see there, if one person has taken this Krishna consciousness properly and realized it, then that is the profit from the. To think that all this flower offering and foot washing and all these kinds of things is complete misunderstanding of the principle of the spiritual master. And that is why we have so many problems also from that. We misunderstand everything. Instead of taking the message, we took the external physical manifestation as the reality and followed after that. That will not stay. That will go. That form will disappear one day. Then after that, if you think that the guru is dead one day, then what kind of guru is that? The guru is not something that dies. It's a principle behind it. That Krishna is present there, came in that form, instructed us and went away from here. The form disappeared. That message that has come from Krishna is more important than the form that has come. But misunderstanding goes like this. But when everybody does that, it becomes the norm. Then people accept that as the truth, isn't it? So, coming back to this, that mayarpanam jamanasa sarvakama vivarjanam. Krishna says, mayarpanam jamanasa sarvakama vivarjanam. Sarvakama vivarjanam. Sarvakama vivarjanam means that not desiring anything, that things should happen in my own way. That is that sarvakama vivarjanam. That means, normally, you may have heard these two words, vritya and dasa. Two words, vritya and dasa. Hanuman, Anjaneya Swami are all referred as dasa. Kulashekara Alwar's prayer says, tul vritya vritya parijaraga vritya 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 sya vritya itimam smara lokanatham. That is how Kulashekara Alwar prays to Krishna. That he says, make me as your servant. Now, where is the difference? Anjaneya Swami says, Hanuman says, make me as your dasa. And Kulashekara Alwar says, make me as your vritya. There is a difference there. Tul vritya vritya parijaraga vritya 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 sya vritya itimam smara lokanatha. That I just want to be a servant of your servant of your servant of your, 8 times he says there. Servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Like that. So the dasa is by his mood. Let me explain that, the difference between the two. Anjaneya Swami and others, they are dasas. Dasas means, you say, he is called Ramadas, isn't he? Ramchandra's servant, dasa he is. Why is he called Ramadas? Because dasa's mood is different than the vritya's mood. Dasa is that person who completely surrendered everything to Ramachandra. Completely surrendered everything to Krishna. He is a dasa. Das means that you are surrendered. Otherwise, just because I got initiated and got a name, Dinadnyatma Dasa, if I am not surrendered anything, I am not a dasa. Dasa means one who has surrendered completely. Otherwise, he is not a dasa. So, practically you can see where the problem is. That dasa means only when you have surrendered everything, you become a dasa. Otherwise, you are a vritya. There is a big subtle difference there. Dasa is one who has surrendered everything. Or if it is a dasi, also same thing. We only worry about the name, whether we have got a name or not, isn't it? Everything else will remain the same as we are. We don't want to change, but we'll have a new name. And we'll ask each other after initiation, what's your name, what's your name? We'll ask like that. But it doesn't mean anything. But dasa is one who has nothing of his own. Everything he has surrendered to Krishna. Like Hanuman is called Ramdas, isn't it? For this reason only. But what is the difference then? Vritya has a little different relationship than dasa. In Vritya's case, his mind, dasa's mind, never moves. It's fixed in his position. It is fixed in his position. No desires at all. No desires in his mind. Anything and everything happens in life, Anjaneya Swami's position. Whatever happens, he is not disturbed about anything. Whether it is Ravana or whether it is anybody, doesn't matter. He is going to go. Because the surrender is so high that anything that happens, Hanuman is not worried. He is not worried about it. Hanuman is a dasan, isn't it? He is a dasa. So, in sadhana state, in the Vritya's case, what's happening is, Vritya is like a servant. Suppose somebody is doing a servant's job in a rich person's house. He will see a lot of nice things in a rich man's house, isn't it? When you see the rich man's bed, you see, you're not, don't feel like having a sleep on that bed. See how it is. Or you see the way they are eating very nicely with various big feasts every day. So if the servant also decides like that, that's not going to happen. Because he's a servant there. He's in Brithya. He's a Brithya there. So Brithya means he knows very well that he cannot have that lifestyle, standard of living on his own. He cannot have it. He knows that because he's a servant there. But in that state of a servant, he can desire many things. He can desire to have all that life, even though it may not happen. But he can desire that, isn't it? So that is the difference between Brithya and the Dasa. Dasa is one who has completely surrendered everything and he has no more desires coming up anymore. For a Brithya, desires can come up anytime. And it can desire anything. So because he knows that he is a Brithya or servant there, he can only have what has been given to him by the so similarly in our mind also many desires will come. It's impossible to take it out, is it not? So in the sadhana stage we are Brithya. In the sadhana stage we are Brithya. Brithya means that desires are coming, but it may not get fulfilled. It may get fulfilled, it may not get fulfilled. Most of it may not get fulfilled. But but in the Brithya stage, in that stage, you have to say to Krishna like this, that so many desires are coming. So many devotees are praying like this to Krishna. That's what I'm saying this. Devotees prayers to Krishna. That when they are in the Brithya stage, so many desires are coming to me. But if those desires are coming to me, please don't fulfill them. That's the prayer. That's the prayer to Krishna. I may ask something, but don't give it to me. I can't stop from asking because that's the state of my mind at the moment. It's a very practical thing also, that lot of desires that comes, isn't it? Sometimes if you have so many anxiety about various things in this world, you will be worried about many things and those things will come and you may wonder, oh, if that happened in the right way, how nice it would be, everything went through well. That's the kind of desire that comes in life. So when those desires come, we have to say to Krishna that desires will come, you won't be able to stop them. My mind is uncontrolled, it will demand many things, but whatever you ask me to do, whatever you do it through me, I'll do it. But Brithya's mood is like this, that I'm asking, so many things may come in my mind, but don't give it to me, don't give it to me. So in Dasya Bhavam, in the, like Anjaneya Swami and others, Dasya Bhavam, whether comes or goes, would not create any impact inside. Whether something happens, not happen, it doesn't bother. That is Dasyam. Dasyam is like that. So there it is. Krishna is telling us to chant the holy name, we'll chant the holy name. Krishna is telling us to read Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll read Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is telling us to do deity worship, we'll do the deity worship. And Krishna says you engage in meditation, we'll do the meditation. But so I'll keep on doing whatever I have been told, Krishna has told me to do. But when Krishna controls it, I will stop it. And how Krishna? That means the surrender has to be complete inside in order to be a dasa. So Brithya Bhavam is, Krishna is saying here, though there is no point that Krishna controls everything. When it stops, let it stop. And that is the mood of a Brithya. So Sarva Kama Vivarjidam. So although desires are coming, there is no support from inside. Therefore, what? Support from inside. Krishna says here that even if those desires come, in due course of time, he mentions here that due to bhakti, that will stop. This desires coming and disturbing inside. When bhakti develops in the heart, that desires popping up while engaging in sadhana, that will come to a stop. That's the only way it will stop, due to bhakti. Due to bhakti. So one devotee said to Krishna, many desires are coming to me, And even if I ask you, don't give it to me, he said. Even if I ask you, don't give it to me. Without knowing something, I may ask you, not knowing the danger, what it may happen from that. At least that intelligence I must have. At least that intelligence I must have. Because Krishna says here, for a devotee, important thing is, he says, in the 22nd verse, sarva kama vivarjanam, isn't it? Sarva kama vivarjanam. In order that bhakti to develop inside, desires must go from inside. Desires must go from inside. Now, after this, you will see there, so sometimes we may ask Krishna, which may cause problem for us later. Something that will bring problems later. And if you give me all that, I've asked for something and you've given it to me, and if that is going to cause problem later for me, I don't know whether it will cause problem or not. Krishna knows better. So that decision whether to have it or not, we have to leave that with Krishna, not with us. Sometimes even pure devotees or highly advanced and realized souls, they would not even ask Krishna for anything. Even when their body is giving trouble, even their mind is giving trouble, still they will try not to ask anything from Krishna. Ask anything from Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have a very interesting personality who had done something very wonderful in this way. What he did was that he was an emperor, a great powerful emperor, Muchukunda. If you study this Muchukunda's prayers in the Bhagavatam, you will see how a devotee relates with Krishna. Devotee relates with Krishna. Muchukunda's study is very important in the Bhagavatam. Muchukunda's story, probably you know what Muchukunda did. He gave up his position as the emperor. Solar dynasty. Ikshvaku and Ramachandra, in that parampara he comes, isn't it? So he gave up his emperor's position. What happened to him was that in those days, in his time, demigods used to invite very powerful Kshatriyas from here to go and help them in their fight against the demons. So prior to Subramanya, Kartikeya became the commander in the heavenly planets of the demigods. Indra invited Muchukunda to come to help him in the war. Muchukunda went to fight in the heavenly planets. Lord Ramchandra's father, Dasharatha, he went to the heavenly planets to fight the war. When Muchukunda went there, a long period of time he fought the war there in the heavenly planets. And eventually they killed all the demons, and Indra was very satisfied with Muchukunda. Muchukunda, after the war was over, Indra asked Muchukunda, what shall we give you as a boon or a benediction to you, blessings or whatever that is called to you? Said. So you can see, Muchukunda was a big emperor. He had the highest standard of life in this world, emperor means, isn't it? Everything under his control, and all material opulences, materially high standard of life he had here. But when Muchukunda went there and after the war was over, the only thing he could think of, he said to Indra, that as far as material benedictions are concerned, I don't need anything. I have everything here in the earthly planet. When in fact, at that time, the heavenly planet standard and the standard here was as good as them. What Muchukunda had here was such a high standard that he did not think that anything Indra can offer on a material level, any happiness here. So he told Indra that materially I don't want anything. But if you can offer me benediction that I can get liberated right now from this body, then that will be the only thing I can ask you, he said to Indra. Indra is in trouble. Indra can't offer that. Indra says to Mujgunda that that's the only thing you can't ask me. But you can ask me anything else, I can offer you that, he said. So, at that time, Mujgunda thought about it. And Mujgunda says to Indra, if you can't offer me that, there is nothing that you can offer me apart from that, he said. So finally, Mujgunda thought like this. What is the next thing that will help me in spiritual life? And that's how he asked Indra, okay, if that is the case, let me go, I want to sleep. Why did he ask for that sleep, deep sleep? He thinks sleep is wrong thing, isn't it? Sleep has some benefit also, sleeping. Not all sleeping is bad thing. Why did he say that? Because Mujgunda thought about this. If I am sleeping, at least I will not create any new vasana inside. If you are awake all the time, you will create some karma. There is no question about that. You will engage in some karma. Karma will create new karma vasana. New karma vasana means new material body again. Sensing all this, he weighed up everything and he thought the right thing to do now is that let me go and have a good sleep. And let me sleep as long as necessary till my prarabdham is finished and let me leave this body. That was in Mujgunda's mind when he asked for that benediction. But Indra, if you ask from any benediction demigods, you have to be very careful because they are very funny people in that sense that when he asked for benediction, Indra said to him, that's not a problem. I can give you that benediction. And he also gave one extra benediction along with that. What was that? He says to Indra, Indra says to Mujgunda, that you go and you sleep as long as you want. You won't wake up from that sleep. But if someone comes and wakes you up, he'll be burnt into ashes. He'll burn into ashes. Just like in Tesco, when you buy one, you get one free, isn't it? This is the same problem with the demigods. When they give something, they'll give something along with that. One free offering also. So, Mujgunda brought that benediction and came here. And he went to sleep in a cave, in a big cave. He went and slept. So, his time is now, it's 5:15. We'll start after 15 minutes. So, in the Bhagavadam, in the 10th canto, it is the 51st chapter 51, which is the story of Mujgunda, Mujgunda's story. And that Mujgunda, when he was in the, he came to the earth after taking this benediction from Indra, he came here and then he went into a cave and slept. He went into a cave and slept. And slept for a very, very long period of time. Very long period of time he slept there. And it was after that story that Krishna comes, followed by Kalayavana. Kalayavana is that story is in the Bhagavadam. Who have read, you know that Kalayavana was a Yavana. Yavana means there are various races mentioned in the Bhagavadam. Kirada Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasam Abhira Kanga Yavana Kasadaya Yenyeja Papa Yadubashraya Shraya Shuddhindi Tasmai Prabhavishnave Nama. It's a part of the Shuka Sarasvatam where Sukadeva Shubramarshi prays to Krishna as though praying to Saraswati Devi to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. That is called Shuka Sarasvatam. It is in the second canto before he began Bhagavatam. So in there he mentions that Kiratas, Hunas, Andragas, Pulindas, Pulkasas, Abhiragas, Khasas and Yavana. So Yavana was this Kalayavana. Kalayavana was a Yavana. Some people say Yavanas are from Greece. They come from that part of the world, from the Greece. So, when this fight happened after Jarasandha and Krishna fought 17 times, and when Krishna was in Dwaraka with Balaram once, Jarasandha attacked Dwaraka from the western entrance. Dwaraka had four entrances. From the western entrance, Jarasandha attacked. From the eastern entrance, Kalayavana attacked. With a very powerful and a very large army, he attacked. Jarasandha also came with a very large army. At that time, Krishna told Balaram that you deal with this army. I'm going, he said. Krishna says to Balaram, I'm going. You deal with them. And it was Balaram had to fight with Jarasandha and Kalayavana. But the reason why Krishna did that was, Krishna changed his form from the two-handed form to four-handed form, and the Vishnu form he went out. Now, Kalayavana was wandering around in this world when he met Sri Narada Maharshi. So Kalayavana wanted to fight with someone who is very powerful. He was a very powerful personality, this Kalayavana. And that Kalayavana, looking for someone to fight, Narada Maharshi thought, let me introduce him to Krishna then. He's the right person to fight with. So he gave a description of Krishna in a four-handed form to Kalayavana. That was the reason Krishna had to take that four-handed form to come out from the fort, from Dwaraka. He came out in the four-handed form because of this reason, that that Narada Maharshi gave this four-handed form explanation of that to Kalayavana, that you will meet a person like this with four hands, with conch shell, disc, lotus flower and the club in the hands. And also told him about this yellow garment he wears and the crown and Kaustubham and Srivalsam, the mark on his chest. All these things, the detailed description of Vishnu form, Sri Narada Maharshi gave to Kalayavana. And Kalayavana was looking for this person. So Krishna came out in that form from the palace in Dwaraka. And Balaram went to fight this war with Jarasandha and others. But when Kalayavana saw this form, he started chasing him and asking him to fight with him. Kalayavana was running after Vishnu. And obviously Krishna's plan was to take him to this cave inside. And he knew that he didn't want to kill Kalayavana. Kalayavana should go inside the cave. And Muchukunda was sleeping there. He went inside and in the darkness he went and kicked him with this. He went and tripped on Muchukunda's body. And Muchukunda opened his eyes, and in the fire of that eye that came from his eyes, Kalayavana got burned into ashes there. And that's how Kalayavana gets killed. And at that point, inside the cave, Muchukunda looked and saw a effulgence everywhere, because of Krishna's presence there, in that four-handed form there. And there it is, this Muchukunda's prayers to Krishna. It's famous in the Bhagavatam, Muchukunda Stuti, glorification of Krishna. You will see that in this chapter 51, verses begins there from the 46th verse, Muchukunda Vacha, it begins from there. And Muchukunda glorifies Krishna, and Muchukunda's approach in prayers, how he spoke to Krishna. That's very important, very interesting also. He says to him, I was born Ichhagu's dynasty, Ichhagu's race. Ichhagu was the famous king in the Ramchandra's lineage, isn't it? Vaivasvata Manu, then Ichhagu. Manu Ichhagu or Bravid in the Bhagavad Gita says that, isn't it? So from Manu comes Ichhagu. Ichhagu was a very famous personality, and from Ichhagu came others after that, Raghu, Dilip and Dasharatha, and then Ramachandra later. So that is a solar dynasty. So he says to him, I have, he was an emperor, remember this, Mukunda was an emperor. He says to him that I was born in this Ikshvaku's race. He says to Vishnu, to Krishna there. Krishna says to him that I don't know you, he says. Krishna says to Ikshvaku, I don't know, Mukunda, I don't know you, who are you, he says. And Mukunda is asking him also, who are you? To Krishna, mutually, they have not been introduced properly, obviously. So they are asking each other, who are you? I don't know him. You have to see Krishna's answer and you have to see Mujgunda's answer also at the same time. Mujgunda says to him, I performed so much yoga sadhana, yoga process, I have done a lot. Pranayamam and discussed the shastram a lot. Still, I haven't realized. This was Mujgunda's main concern. I have not realized the truth. It hasn't happened yet to me. I've studied everything, I've done everything, shastram, everything I've followed, and I'm in that disturbed state inside. And when I was doing all these things, I received this request from the heavenly planet to go there to fight the war. And because they were having problems with the Asuras, demons there, and it was quite common that they used to invite people from the Ikshvaku family to come and fight there. And that is how I went there, he says. But due to my presence that they won the war, because I was a senior person, helped Indra in that. And later on, Kartikeya came and took over that position of the commander-in-chief of the Deva Senapati, his address, Subramaniam, took over that position and I came here. But what I want is not all those things. Demigods asked me what benediction I want. And I said, I want this benediction. I want the knowledge of the self. This is what I wanted. I wanted the knowledge of the self, which I didn't get. They told me they can't give it to me. That knowledge of the self, because they said, we ourselves don't have it to give it to you. This is what they told us. So Mukunda says there, then they asked me, they can ask me whatever you want, anything else. So, and they kept insisting I should ask for something. And as far as going back and running this empire and all is concerned, I've lost all interest in that, he says. I lost because I had enough of it. There's nothing there, he said. And you're not going to help me in any way in my spiritual progress, spiritual advancement. You people are only capable of giving material sense gratification. Nothing else you can offer me. And as far as those things are concerned, there is plenty in this world. I have got it. So better than that, I thought it's better to sleep rather than doing something. Because if I engage in sense gratification, take up this king's, emperor's position again, I will make some, create some situation where I create more karma for myself later. So the best state, not creating another karmam, karma bandhanam or bondage, is sleep, says Mujgunda to Krishna. So otherwise, all other time, if I am awake, I'll do something and create more karmam for myself. I know about that, he says. So therefore I decided to come and sleep here. And I was very tired after the war. I'm an older person now. So sometimes people will say that it's not a bad blessing that you can sleep as long as you want, isn't it? So Mujgunda says like that, let me sleep as long as I like. So the demigod says, Tathastu, let it be like that. And they came here. He came here, isn't it? But as I said, that if you are sleeping, it want to be a disturbance-free sleep. So they gave this benediction that if someone comes and disturbs you, he'll be burnt into ashes, he says. So, and that is such a benediction they gave him. So Mujgunda says, he says to him that I've been sleeping since then here. And karmam is not over for Mujgunda yet. That body is still there to burn, to finish the karmam in their body. So I'm lying here, he says, expecting that to finish. Kalam pradikshan, like Narada Maharshi said that, isn't it? Kalam pradikshan vimato vimal saraha. you remember? Namananandasya hatatrava padhan guhyani badrani kritani jasmaran gamparyanam tushtamana agadaspraha kalam pradikshan vimato vimal saraha. That kalam pradikshan, that means waiting for the time to body to finish its life in this world, or prarabdham to burn up. So Narada Maharshi, and he was very kind to him, that Mujgunda is lying here because of that, and time has come to wake up. So Kalayamana comes there, and they had the introduction between Krishna and Mujgunda. Look at the way how Mujgunda asked Krishna about him. He says to him that Mujgunda asked Krishna, who are you? Krishna is saying, Janma karma abhidhanani. It is 37th verse in the 51st chapter, in the 10th canto. Janma karma abhidhanani. Janma karma abhidhanani sandhime inga sahasrasha. Nashakyandi anusankhyadu anandatvanmaya abhihim. Krishna says, I have so many births, and so many names, and so many karmam I have performed here, I myself do not know what all I have done. Krishna's answer. I don't know what all I have done. He says, Kujil drajam sivyamame parthivan uru janmabhi guna karma abhidhanani name janmani karhichil. Actually, it's difficult to know about my life, he says. Krishna is saying, because if somebody tries to understand me, he will never be able to understand me. Krishna is answering that. If someone tries to understand me, he will never be able to understand me. He says to Mujgunda, if he tries to understand, gunam karma abhidhanani name janmani karhichit. As far as my birth is concerned, nobody will be able to understand, because he is unborn. He has no birth, isn't it? That's why Krishna is saying, if you start trying to understand who I am and understand my birth, you won't be able to understand, because I have no birth. Guna karma abhidhanani. And as far as qualities are concerned, Krishna says here that even if you spend all your lifetime to talk about my qualities, you won't be able to talk about it. You won't be able to talk about it. And as far as my activities are concerned, karma abhidhanani, he says here, never you will know my activities, because they are transcendental activities. But Krishna puts it in such a way to him, saying that kunakarma vidhanani name janmani karhichit, it will never be understood. So what is the point in me trying to explain that in that way? Then he says, kalatrayovabannani janmakarmani me nrupa anukramando naivandam gachandi paramarshayam. Kalatrayobhavannani janma karmani me nrupa. Great sages, kalatrayobhavannani janma karmani me nrupa. That even great sages, they have been trying to count my different appearances in this world. How many times I've appeared, they still haven't got a clear understanding how many times I have appeared. And that is true also. Why? You know, in Bhagavadam, if you ask clearly how many times Krishna has appeared, there is no definite answer to that. One place it says 10 times, we call it major 10 incarnations. In the first canto, there is 24 incarnations spoken. And then there it says, it is not possible. How many times Krishna has appeared? If you ask a question like that, there is no answer to that. You can't give an answer. How can you give an answer? That's why Krishna himself is saying, kalatrayovavannani janma karmani me nrupam anukramando naivandam gachandi paramarshayam. Kalatrayovavannani janma karmani me nrupam. So even great sages, great rishis, they have tried to understand and they have given up at the end, to know how many times Krishna has appeared. How do we know how many times Krishna has appeared? So kalatrayobhavannani janmakramani me, janmam and karmam, Krishna's janmam and karmam, that cannot be understood, or you cannot make a definite statement about it.
Anukramando naivandam gachandi paramarshayam.
And gachandi paramarshayam, only the great sages, they have tried to understand and they could not do it. So like this, there is a few things he mentions there. And but he also says here,
Tadapit adananyanga shrunishva gadado mama vijnabhido virinjena puraham dharmaguptaye.
Then he also says, this time,
avadirna yadugule griha anagadundhuve.
This time I have appeared in the house of Vasudeva. Vasudeva's house I have appeared among the Yadavas. And therefore people call me as Vasudeva. He says,
Vadandi Vasudevedi.
At this point in time they are calling me Vasudeva. Vasudeva Sudamhimam, and they call me as Vasudeva's son. That is how they call me at the moment. But I can't definitely give you an answer how many times I have appeared and in what forms I have appeared and what names I had. I can't give an answer for that because I myself do not know, Krishna is saying. I don't know myself, he says.
Avatirno yadugule griha anagadundube vadandi vasudevedi Vasudeva Sudamhimam.
In this way, Krishna introduces himself to Mujgunda. And in replies to that Mujgunda remembered that he says to Kalanemi, who has many other powerful demons, they were killed by me, Krishna says to him. And now this Yavana also got killed because from your fire, from your eyes. I have come here to give you some blessings. But many years ago, you have worshipped me. Krishna is saying to Mujgunda, you worshipped me. So only at that time, suddenly our Mujgunda came to his memory what Srinarada Maharshi has told him before. Because long back, before he went to war in the heavenly planets, Narada Maharshi spoke to him, to Mujgunda, and told him, when you come back and you continue sleep there in this cave, you will get a blessing like this. All this memory came back to Mujgunda. And one day Krishna will appear there and he'll give you some benediction. This memory came back to Mujgunda. Mujgunda heard everything. So, and then Mujgunda starts his prayers to Krishna in the famous as Mujgunda Stuti, Mujgunda's glorifications in the Bhagavatam. So, here, coming back to this Bhagavatam, the four-handed form in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you won't find in many places. Very few places you'll find Krishna takes this four-handed form. When Krishna is pleased with someone, he takes four-handed form. Krishna is pleased with someone, he takes this four-handed form. Who says this? Ekanath Swami says this in his commentary on Ekadasha Skandam. Because when he was extremely pleased with Uddhava, he took a four-handed form. And spoke Uddhavadesham is all with the four-handed form. Krishna spoke to Uddhava in the four-handed form. Instructions to Uddhava is in the four-handed form. Krishna is talking to him. Another instance is here in Mujgunda's prayers also, in that four-handed form is spoken. Four-handed form is spoken. So, Ekanath Swami says like this. So when Krishna is in extreme happiness with someone or extremely pleased with someone by bhakti, then Krishna takes this four-handed form. So while this Brahma Vidya, when Krishna was instructing Uddhava about this Brahma Vidya, when Brahma Vidya is instructed, Krishna embraced Uddhava on a couple of occasions, and at that time all the four hands manifested in Krishna. And Ekanath Swami says he wanted to embrace Uddhava with so much happiness that he threw away the conch shell, disc, lotus flower, everything, and embraced him. That's how Ekanath Swami puts it. Tvamdo Bhagavade Shwaham. About Uddhava he says, isn't it? Here, Kalevanan standing there, and this big fort in Dwaraka, Krishna came out from there and at the outside the gate Kalayavana is standing there, and then the running started from there. Kalayavana followed Krishna. Krishna ran into this cave where Muchukunda was sleeping, and Kalayavana entered into the cave and hit Muchukunda with his foot, and immediately Muchukunda woke up, and in the fire of the eyes Kalayavana got burned there. And that's where Muchukunda Stuti happens in the cave, glorifying Krishna there. So that Kalayavana's prayers, we'll look at it now. Sorry, Muchukunda's prayers, where he mentions there that Muchukunda Uvacha, verse 46, 51 chapter. Vimohidoyam janayesha mayaya todiyaya tvam na bhajate anartha drikkam sukhaya dukkha prabhaveshu sajjate griheshu yoshil purushascha vanchitaha labdhva jano durlabham atra manusham katanjida vyangamayatna donakha padaravindam na bhajate asanmadir grihanda kope yat padito yatha pashu. Mamaisha kalo jidanishpalo gado rajyashriyo naddhamadasya bhupade martyalma buddhe sudhadhara koshabul shwasajjamanasya duranda chindaya. Kalebaresmin gadagudhya sannibhe nirudhamano naradevamityaham brudhorade bhashubadatyanikapair gam paryadam tuganayan sudurmadaha. Pramattamuchai idigritya chindaya pravurdha lobham vishayeshu lalasam tuma pramatta sahasabipadyase kshullelihano hirivakumandakaha. Purarathair hema parishkrideischaran madangajairva naradevasam idaha sa eva kalena duratya yenate kalebaro vilkrimibhasmasam idaha. Narjityadi chakramabhuda vigraho varasanastha samarajavandida griheshu maithunya sukheshu yoshidam krida mrigaha purusha isha niyatim karodi karmani tapasvanishtito nivrtta boga tadabekshaya dadan punascha bhuyeyam aham swarad idi pravardha tarsho na sukhaya kalpadem. Bhavabhavargo bhramadoyadabhave janasya tarh achyuda sal samagamaha sal sangamo yarhitadeva salgado paravareshe tui jayate mati. Manye bhavanugraham ishade kurto rajanubandha bhagamo yadrchaya ya prathyade sadbhirega charyaya vanam vivikshadbhira ghanda bhumipai na kama yenyam tavapada sevanam Aginjana prarthadamavaram vibho aradhyakastvam abavargadam hare vrinidamarya varamatmabandhanam. Tasmad visrajya shishamisha sarvado rajastama sattva guna anubandhanam niranjanam nirgunam advayam param tvam nyaptimatram purusham vrajamyaham. Chiramiha vrjinartha tapyamanu nutabai ravitrisha shadamitro labdha shandi kadanjil sharanada samubedam tulpadabjam paralman abhayamradam ashokam pahimam apannamishah. These are the prayers from Muchukunda to Krishna. Why this prayer is so important? As I mentioned, Muchukunda was a emperor, isn't it? A great personality from the Ikshvaku's lineage, which means in the Solar dynasty, a very powerful king. They ruled with so much opulence and so much authority, this planet. So here, Muchukunda says to Krishna that Vimohitoyam, that is how he begins the prayers, you can see there. Vimohitoyam Jananishamayam. Vimohidoyam, he says. Vimohidoyam means Vimohidoyam janayishamayayam. He says, what is this Vimohidoyam means? Vimohidoyam means, the king is saying, I'm already have enough desires inside me. Moham, visheshana moham is called vimoham. Visheshana moham means, simple understanding of moham is, to think something what really doesn't exist as it exists, as though it exists. That means what doesn't exist, to think that it exists is called moham. And to think something that you need it, what actually you don't need. Actually you don't need many things in this world, isn't it? But think that you need all of them, and to think that something that doesn't exist as though it exists, as it exists. And these things are called moham. So, normally what we have got is this moham. Mudha buddhi. It's called mudha buddhi. Mudha buddhi means mudhatvam. Mudhatvam means to think so many things what actually doesn't exist, to think that they exist, number one. Number two, that I need all that. I need all these things. In the beginning of the Niminavayogi Samvadam also you will see the same thing mentioned there about moham. Shri Krishna Tulpadobasanam Abhayadamam Martya Mithyartha Drishti. That's a word they use there. Mithya means something that's not real. Artha Drishti means to wants to possess all that. Things which are not real, wants to possess all that. Mithyartha Drishtir Martyasya Artyasya Manyem Vivasaradivayam Yena Sarvalmanayivam. Because I have accepted something which is not real as real, that's the first step in the illusion. When illusion works, it works like this. First thing, everything, something what is not real, you start thinking it as real. That's the first thing. Then you start thinking, the second thing, what happens in the illusion is that all those things are good to have it. And the third step is that you want to have it. In three levels, this illusion works in this world, in us, all of us. Illusion works like this. First thing, things which are not real, you start thinking they are real, number one. Secondly, you think they are good to have it. It's nice to have them, too good to have them. And third thing, the next thing after that, desiring to have it. This is how the illusion, moham. So that moham works like this, and here our Mujigunda is saying, I am already trapped in that. Emperor is speaking this. Imagine that. An emperor is speaking like this. So, Vimohitoyam janamisha mayaya todiyayam tuam bhajat tenarthadrik. When you are caught up in that moham, that illusion, what will happen? You will not take notice of Krishna. You will not take notice of the soul. That's what happens to all of us, isn't it? Because we are trapped in that illusion, things which are not real, we have taken it as real. This world, in other words, this body, mind, intelligence, all that. And because of that, I've started thinking so many things in this world that is nice. And if I can keep this body also nice for a long some time, it's not a bad thing. All this illusion develops, and then I want to possess many things. I wanted to own it and enjoy it. This is the sequence in which the illusion traps us. So Mujigunda is saying here, Vimohidoyam janayisha mayaya todiyaya tuam na bhajat anarthadrik. He says, I did not take your shelter. So the beginning itself is with this apology. He's apologizing to Krishna that both in the form sukhaya dukkha prabhaveshu sajjade griheshi yoshil purushascha vanchidaha. Main thing what happens to all of us, he says, that the vision will not go inward. It will go outward. That is called bahirartha drishti. സുഖായ തുദീയതാം ന ഭജത് അനർത്ഥദൃക്. അനർത്ഥദൃക്, അനർത്ഥദൃക് മീൻസ് ദിസ് എക്സ്റ്റേണൽ വിഷൻ, അവർ അറ്റൻഷൻ ഗോയിങ് ടു ദ വേൾഡ്, ദ വേൾഡ് അറ്റൻഷൻ ഗോയിങ് ടു ദ വേൾഡ്, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് കോൾഡ് ആസ് ഭജതി അനർത്ഥദൃക്. അനർത്ഥദൃക് മീൻസ് എവറിഥിങ് ഈസ് അനർത്ഥം ആൻഡ് ഓൾ അവർ അറ്റൻഷൻ ഹാസ് ഗോൺ ഇൻ ടു ദിസ് വേൾഡ്. ആൻഡ് വാട്ട് ഹാപ്പൻസ്, ആൻഡ് നോട്ട് ഓൺലി ദാറ്റ്, because of that I have not taken Krishna or the spiritual life very seriously. Taking Krishna seriously means taking spiritual life seriously. I never did that, he says. And added to that, what I did, sukhaya dukha prabhaveshu sajjate, that sukham and dukham, happiness and distress, constantly I am getting it from this world. Prabhaveshu sajjate griheshu yoshil purushascha vanjira. Just like a man and a woman get married and both of them have made a decision to live a life in this world thinking that they can be happy together. They can be happy together. They made that decision. We'll get married and we'll live happily together. With that misunderstanding, I got into this family life and I'm trapped there. I can't escape from this. I can't escape from this. Particularly householders to take notice of these prayers, because how troublesome our life in this world is. Griheshu, griheshu yoshil purushascha vanchidaha. Both of them, us, are cheating each other. Husband and the wife, they are cheating each other. Mujukunda begins like this, the prayers to Krishna. That we entered into household life and we thought that from now on life can be happy in this world, everything will be happy here. So he says there that I don't want that. That is my first mistake, he says. So that is why, because of this only, that in Bhajagovindam prayers also we are addressed as Mothamathe, isn't it? Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam, Bhaja Mothamathe, he says. We are addressed as Mothas because of this understanding. But that is where later on, he mentions there, Mujukunda says here, the only way I can escape from this is Bhava Bhavargohi. You will see a verse after that in the 54. Bhava Bhavargo Brahmado Yada Bhave Janasya Tarhya Chuda Sal Samagamam Sal Sangamo Yarhi Tadaiva Salgado Paravareshe Toi Jayate Mati. If I go to a salsangam, there is a possibility, he says, that I'll hear this understanding of life, that how I am trapped in this world, and at least some attention might turn inwards towards the soul or towards Krishna. So that is what he mentions here, that salsangatve nisangatvam. From salsangam comes nisangatvam. Nisangatvam means proper consciousness of understanding things properly. Nirmohatvam, moham will go, illusion will go. Nirmohatve nischala tattvam, that you will get established in the tattvam very easily. And nischala tattve jivan mukti, that leads into liberation in this life. So, so here you can see that this maya he is talking about here, vimohidoyam jana isha mayaya, this maya itself is Krishna's maya, isn't it? It's Krishna's maya. It's your maya, he says. Jana isha mayayam. Mujukunda is saying to Krishna that, so therefore, Mujukunda says, I have to take your shelter because it's your maya that has done this to me. And this maya has trapped me. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, that verse, Devi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya Durateya. Mamaya Durateya. So Krishna, Mujunda is saying to Krishna, it is your Maya that has trapped me in this. And Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, don't blame the Maya. Don't blame the Maya. And because she is mine. That is also there. You can't just blame Maya and walk away from there, because it is Krishna's Maya. It's Krishna's Maya, it is, isn't it? Mama Maya. That's why Krishna is saying there, Mama Maya. It's my Maya, he says. So don't blame Maya and cause worry about yourself, and there's no point, you have to accept that. It's my Maya that's giving you the trouble. I know about that, Krishna is saying. So just like, as he mentioned before, that suppose you saw a notice there, beware of the dog. Suppose you throw a stone at the dog and get rid of, you can't do that, can you? Because it is the owner of the dog is going to come after you, saying that, what have you done this to my dog, he'll say. So Maya's relationship with Krishna is like that. You can't do anything with her. Not complain anymore. So if the dog bites you, it's up to you to look after yourself, not to get bitten by the dog. Similarly, if Maya is biting you, it's up to you to escape from that, not to get bitten by the Maya. Not to get bitten by Maya. So Krishna is saying here, Mam evayam prabhadyante maya medam tarandide. But one who has surrendered to me, he can escape from this Maya. So that's how Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita. So therefore, many Mahatmas, many great personalities, they'll say like this, instead of surrendering to Krishna, I'll surrender to Maya itself. Means, knowing well who is controlling the Maya, Krishna's energy it is, isn't it? We address Sri Parvati or Radharani or Sita Devi, whichever way you address it. They address, they surrender to that personal aspect and ask for shelter there. There's no other way you can escape. That please do not disturb me. Please do not give me trouble in that way. So, but we have to remember this. Tvam na bhajadi, todiyadam tvam na bhajadi. At least don't give me a lot of trouble because of this. And not to pester too much with that, with the Maya. So Maya, as I mentioned before, she will constantly harass us, and then instead of to keep us going, she will put a chocolate now and then in the mouth in some form. So, and then you will suddenly start thinking your life is not too bad. Everything is okay. After all, you know, I had good times and bad times. After all, that's life, isn't it? We'll make it a philosophical statement like that and walk out. Is there anywhere mentioned life has to be like this? Nowhere in the mention that. Krishna is saying, by nature, we are eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. There is nothing there. There is not a sign of it at all in the life. And still we are saying, oh, it's not too bad. So that nature, sukhaya dukkha prabhaveshu sajjate. The example in the Bhagavatam is this camel. Camel eats the thorn, isn't it? And while eating the thorn, its own tongue and the throat, it gets hurt, and from there blood starts coming out because of the thorns what it has eaten. And when the blood starts coming out, the camel is thinking, it's very nice, very tasty this is. It's drinking its own blood and tasting its own blood and saying it's very tasty. Similarly, here he says, sukham dukham. We, in our life in this world, both happiness and distress is coming one after the other. One after the other. And if you analyze your own life, you will see it is nothing but a demonstration of this. A demonstration of this camel's experience, isn't it? With eating the thorns. It's like that. For the sake of happiness, nobody wants distress. But for the sake of happiness, we do many things in this world. And if you look whether this happiness has come from that or not, you can see, nate sukham va anyadubharama va. More than happiness, distress has come from everything what we have done in this world. You can analyze your own life and see whether it's true or not. He says here that, sukhaya dukkha prabhaveshu sajjade. So he says here that dukkham and sukham, but overall if you weigh it up, sukham was very, very little, but it was mostly dukkham, that what we have experienced in this world. We may not admit that. That is from the false ego, won't admit that. That it was dukkham, that what we experienced in this world. So here the point is, that nate sukham va anuduparama va. That sukham, what we thought it is sukham or happiness, is also, on the ultimate analysis, it is distress. We'll see how that is. For example, when they, you know, when the cigarette was first invented, these cigarettes, when they were invented, the first person who made the cigarette, he put this tobacco inside and rolled it and made a paper thing, and it was introduced into the market. So when he introduced this cigarette first, many people told him, who is going to buy this cigarette? Who will smoke? Look at it, you just light it and then all the smoke goes inside and it will fill up all the both the lungs and everywhere, and it will come through the nose and you will start coughing. All sorts, because up to that time people haven't smoked. The first time when cigarette was invented. So the person who made it, he said, told them, he was very sure that people are all idiots in this world. He knew that well. He knew it so well, what he said was, wait, see what happened. He was so committed in making this cigarette and he wanted to manufacture in large scale, he said. So what did he do? He caught hold of some big celebrities, film stars, sportsmen and all that, like they do now also, and gave them some money and told them, you just put this cigarette in your mouth. That's enough for me. That's all. You don't have to smoke even. Just keep it in the mouth and stand there nicely dressed, and some big name he wanted, and took photo of all that and made some big billboards and put all over the country these billboards with big celebrities smoking cigarette. As soon as it started, everybody went looking for cigarette. They want to smoke. And first they thought, what is the happiness in smoking? All the smoke goes inside, filled all the cavities inside, and gives you sickness at the end, cancer or whatever that happens after that. Cancer is one of them, but many other things as well that can come from that. But very soon it all picked up everywhere. People started smoking. So there is no logic in all these things, isn't it? It's a completely nonsense thing, but it happens. So in the similarly, in the same way, sukhaya dukkhaya cham, sukhaya sukhaya dukkha prabhaveshu sajjate. People were convinced that there is sukham in smoking, so they started buying and they suffered after that enough from that. Sukhaya dukkha prabhaveshu sajjate. Thinking that it is sukham, happiness that I am going to get it from that, he started smoking, and then after that continuous dukkham. Very difficult to give it up later, isn't it? Very difficult to give it up later. So many things are like that in this world. What we think that happiness is there, and we look for happiness is there. So similarly, whole lifetime we are endeavoring to become happy. Whole lifetime we are endeavoring to become happy. Day and night we are working, but nothing is happening. In fact, on the other hand, the birds and the bees and all that, they will be making fun of us. They only work for what is needed for their own living in this world. But on the other hand, we are doing work which they can't even understand from their point of view. And they all say that these people, this human species, they're working so hard and they're building so many hospitals to look after themselves. And compared to them, we have less peace in our life, isn't it? Most of the birds, they finish their business in the evening, they go to sleep. They're satisfied with that. They don't have any anxiety about it. And in the morning, they get up, they go for their hunt for the food. But this, look at this human species, day and night working, seems to have no peace inside. And then they're building all the hospitals to cure all their problems. They don't seem to get anywhere. So, as far as animals are concerned, and the birds and all other beasts are concerned, they follow the rule of the nature, isn't it? They follow the nature very rigidly. They don't break it. They know that there is a certain time allotted for earning the food, for getting the food, and they do that. And they stay within that. They don't break that law. And similarly, in their life in this world is concerned, they strictly follow, comply with the injunctions from the nature. They know that very well themselves and they follow it. But here, what do? We don't believe in anything, isn't it? We go, all life we have to work to buy a house or to buy a property and to live there. Whole life is spent on all these things. And even the animals, comparatively, they have not got such big responsibilities on their shoulder like the way we have done with ourselves. That's why he says here, whatever we have created for the sake of happiness, that is all dukkha prabhaveshu sajjade. It's only bringing distress to me, says Muchukunda to Krishna. And he says here, under this, trapped by this maya, in the form of man and woman, husband and the wife, we are got into this householder life, and mutually we are cheating each other. This is the realization a householder must come to at some point in time in life. Not that modern householder life is different. He realizes that, oh, we enjoyed so many years. At least if I can get a few more years from this life, householder life, how nice it would be. But what Muchukunda is saying to us, vimohitoyam janayisha mayayam, that under the trap of this maya, what has happened to me is dukkha prabhaveshu sajjade, that I have acquired a lot of objects for distress in this world, and I have engaged in such dangerous and unhappy relationship which will eventually create distress for me. Knowing very well I've got into this householder life as well, I desired many things in my life, he says. I desired many things in life, and I fell entrapped into that, and ultimately I've come to this stage where I am today. Muchukunda says this to Krishna. And therefore he says, I have done all these things, therefore please don't ask me to ask for a benediction. I've gone through all this life and I know what you are asking me to ask for a benediction. Krishna asked him to ask for a benediction. But now, having gone through all these things, I know that that is not what I want from you, he says. So he mentions there that the Shastram says there, Labdhva jano durlabha matramanusham. Shastra says that to get a human body is very, very difficult thing. It's a very difficult thing. Kadanjidavyangamayatnanonakam. That it is very difficult to get this body. Why? You got a body where important thing is kadanjidavyangamayatnanonakam. To get a proper body. Proper body means with all the five senses working properly. Five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. They are in working order. That itself is a good fortune, isn't it? Somehow or the other, I have got it. That without much of an effort, but still, I did not take your shelter. I did not engage in spiritual life. Muchukunda is saying like this. And he says here, that padaravindam na bhajatya sanmadir grihanda kove padito yatha pashu. He says, in spite of I got all these things, I did not take your shelter, nor I endeavor in self-realization. Just like bhajati asanmadi. Asanmadir means one who has lost his intelligence. Griham andhakube patito yatha pashu. Just like an animal, when it falls into a well which is sometimes when they go grazing, and if there is any deep well, they may not notice, they'll go and fall into it, isn't it, without being noticed. So similarly, I have fallen into this householder life. Griham, grihandakupam means householder life. I've fallen into this householder life, and I got busy with my householder life, and whole life I had no time to think about self-realization or spiritual life. I've trapped in that. And saying this, Muchukunda is apologizing to Krishna for what has happened to him in his life. You have to remember this. Who is talking this? A big emperor is saying this. So, what do we say about a big emperor? He's always a very most successful person. We say like that, suppose if we have met Muchukunda, we would have said, oh, Muchukunda has done very well in his life, isn't it? He has become the emperor. That's how we will say about him. But Muchukunda is saying, I'm the most stupid person in this world. So you can see from this how Muchukunda's state of mind is. He had enough of this. He thinks that there is nothing worthwhile here. In Bhagavatam, there are two personalities who are spoken like this, in this way. Both of them, they were great personalities and they had all the material opulences, and they told Krishna that we have not come to you to asking for any more material opulences. One is our Muchukunda, other one is Parikshit. When Parikshit was cursed by the Brahmana boy, Parikshit said that I had the greatest fortune in my life, that I have got this curse today. Only Parikshit could say that. Because why? Parikshit, from the day when had darshanam of Krishna inside Uttaradevi's womb, from that day his spiritual life has begun from then. So in spiritual life, once that desire has come and hit us, then it is impossible to go back and ask Krishna for something in this material life. Some happiness in this material life is not possible anymore. Muchukunda's story and Parikshit Maharaj's story is teaching us these things. That if you have come to spiritual life seriously, if you have taken Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, and if you have taken this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and want to escape from this misery once for all, there is no question of going back and asking for some material happiness from this world. That cannot be. That cannot be. That is the point Muchukunda is clearly pointing out here to us. That this is, if a personality like Muchukunda, who ruled the planet, in the solar dynasty, they were all such great personalities, and with everything what one could have, he is saying to Krishna, I have wasted all my life. Imagine that. That is what he is saying to him. I have wasted my life, he says. I wasted all my life by getting involved with this kingdom, emperor business, king's business, and thinking that this is all what I need in my life. The same thing what has happened to all of us, isn't it? We have all took this life so seriously. Now we are thinking what an amount of waste it was, the whole thing. That's the realization you come to at the end. Is it not? If you are honest ourselves, we have to accept that. But if you are not, then that's another thing. But to be honest about that, we have to admit that Krishna has given us an opportunity to realize the absolute truth, self-realization. That is the opportunity Krishna has given to us. But instead, we all got involved in all kinds of entanglements and problems of this world, and still repairing it one way or the other, trying to fix it, if we can fix it, and still thinking that this life in this world can be happy, can be made happy, and that is how people look at it. But Parikshit Maharaj and Muchukunda, these two great personalities, both of them, when he was offered a benediction by Krishna, Muchukunda's answer was this: I have wasted all my life in administering this planet, and it was a complete waste of time, because he considered even that as a waste of time compared to what he should have done. As far as that means, to that extent Muchukunda was prepared and ready for self-realization. You will see when Krishna answers Muchukunda later, Krishna will refer to this. Krishna says to him, you are still not ready to go back to the spiritual world. Before you go back, go to Badrika Ashram, perform penances there, let your karma run out. From after that, you will have to come back again here. And many great devotees are saying, it is their opinion, and there is a very, very minor indication of that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Muchukunda has come back here as Sridharacharya Swamiji, who wrote his commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is Muchukunda who has come back here. So there is a very small indication of that in the Bhagavatam, but many devotees, authorities, acharyas all believe Sridhara Swami is nobody else than Muchukunda who has come here. Because in that chapter itself, at the end, Krishna will say to Muchukunda that on my request you will have to come back here again once more, one more time before you go back to the spiritual world. That's how he had to come as Sridhara Swami here. Sridhara Swami wrote, that is why Sridhara Swami's commentary, Bhavartha Divya, why is it so much liked by everybody? Even all other commentators who have come later and commented Srimad Bhagavatam, they refer to Sridhara Swami's commentary. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in spite of difference in the philosophical position, Mahaprabhu followed Achindya Bheda Bhedam, whereas Sridhara Swami was Advaiti. In spite of that, Mahaprabhu says that, I hold Sridhara Swami as my authority on Bhagavatam, he says. So you can see that Sridhara Swami's role as commentary, particularly Ekadasha Skandam, is purely Advaitam, way Sridhara Swami has commented. And there are other commentators like Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, and even Vallabhacharya, Subodhini commentary and all that. And many, many 16 major commentaries are there. They all still hold Sridhara Swami's commentary as the authority in everything. So that Mujigunda is that Sridhara Swami who came later. So here he says to him that Mujigunda's prayers to Krishna is this: I have wasted my time in this world. Remember that they had a very long lifespan compared to us. We only have if we get 50 years, good. When we say lifespan, some worthwhile living in this body, I'm saying. 60 years, very fortunate, you must say. Anything more than that is a bonus. That's how you have to see. But you can also see the problem that as we get 60, 70, there's not much you can do spiritually. Most of the time is spent on the body, isn't it? Body is demanding so many different things. So taking all that, Mujigunda's statement is very valid, that human body Krishna has given to us for only for one purpose, to self, realize the self and get out of not accepting another body again, like Parikshit did, like many others did in the same way. That is the goal of life. There is no other goal of life. Everything else is what we have created in the name of what we say, duty, dharmam, this, that, and so many things. What we have created. Krishna has only said to us one thing: human life is meant for self-realization, nothing else. We'll discuss it next Sunday. Sorry, next Thursday. All Friday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Friday morning, yes. Friday morning. Yes.